After being taken to a hospital for a drug overdose, Anthony Hoover woke up in the middle of having surgeons cutting him open to harvest his organs. Hoover's sister noticed his eyes open and look around with emotion, but she was told that it was just reflexes. The staff told his family that Hoover had given permission for his organs to be donated and that he was declared to be brain dead. But according to a witness, he woke up, began thrashing around, crying, and making attempts to speak, which was ignored by doctors at first. An hour later, the doctors finally stopped because he was showing too many signs of life. Hoover is now recovering from these wounds. This is not an abnormal event. In the medical industry, there is a huge demand for living organs, which is why the term brain dead was invented.
The way it occurred was that Christian Bernard did the first heart transplant in South Africa in 1967. 3 days later, they did the second heart transplant. And you don't know where that is, but I'll tell you. It was done in Brooklyn, New York. And what they did is they cut the beating heart out of a three-day-old baby and transplanted it into an 18-day-old baby. And at the end of their surgeries, a short time after the end of their surgeries, both of those babies were dead. It was illegal. It was immoral. And so they had to do something to make it legal. And so what they did is they set up a committee at Harvard, and the committee invented brain death. The committee did not do studies on dogs or cats or rats. They didn't collect data on human beings. They just invented brain death. It doesn't get better. It keeps getting worse after that. Then a lot of people think that brain death means flat brain waves. They're not even required to do brainwave testing. The way they did that, they studied 9 patients, and 2 of the 9 still had brainwave activity. And then they concluded no longer is it necessary to look at brainwaves, so it's not required to look for brainwave activity.
So when you're doing the transplantation on people they say are brain dead,
they give paralyzing agents when they take the organs so that they don't move and they don't squirm. And even if they don't move and don't squirm, when they cut on them, their heart rate goes up and their blood pressure goes up, which is the response to pain. But they can't demonstrate that they have pain.
Because they're paralyzed. They medically paralyze them.
Yeah.
So they can't respond by...
Right.
That's horrible.
And it gets really bad if you pay attention to it.
Apparently, we are having a human organ shortage.
The United States has a very severe organ shortage.
Every year, there's over 100,000 people waiting for organs, and there's additions on a weekly basis to that list, and fewer people coming off the list. And so we're in this constant state of crisis trying to find organs for people in need.
The demand for young, healthy human organs is much greater than the available supply. And while we are mostly told about the life-saving aspect of organ donation, private industry is hungry for young living bodies too. Medical research personnel call these beating heart cadavers. And according to MIT Technology Review, donated bodies are powering gene-edited organ research. As more and more young people overdose on fentanyl, the human organ business gives thanks.
An unexpected silver lining to the epidemic of drug overdose deaths.
Drug overdoses are now one of the leading causes of death in organ donors, especially among young people.
Drug overdoses have spiked since the opioid epidemic started sweeping the nation. And health experts say the only silver lining has been the increase in life-saving organs for transplants.
Organ donors who have died from drug overdoses have increased by 500%.
500%, that's huge.
A trend they really started to notice 4 years ago. Classin said it started in New England, spread through Appalachia, then to the upper Midwest, now claiming the lives of those all across the country.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
How Halloween horror story from Greg Reese, organ harvesting and the brain death fallacy.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexshowstore.com. But I personally like this one, Murdered Out. It fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like Murdered Out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and T-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexshowstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again Murdered Out, and we've got the Save the Frogs, over 50 designs, all at thealexshowstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexshowstore.com and get your Patriot gear.
It's Thursday, October 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together.
Okay, morning, three, ladies and gentlemen, two, this is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I have an extremely important video show to present today. We are less than 2 weeks away from the vote. I got a lot of political news. There were about three or four attempted bombshells yesterday. We're 11 days out. Democrats launched three warheads, all of which proved to be total duds, total failure, hilariously embarrassing. So we'll cover the political stuff. But at this point, I think the campaign is over. I don't think there's going to be a lot of movement in the next 11 days in terms of people still up in the air about who they want to choose. But I'm going to tell you right now, the steel is on in a very real way. I got some inside information yesterday, and I'll tell you about it. And I feel a very heavy obligation to try to use this platform to do something about what's going on, because it is egregious, it's blatant, and they're going to win if they get away with it. It's happening in every major city, and I got the inside scoop of how they're doing it, how they're making it happen. And we'll, so I'll do the Daily Dispatch first. I got all these videos. There was CNN town hall, and Kamala's calling Trump Hitler, and it's all nonsense. We'll get to some of this, but really, I think all of it pales in importance when compared to what is going on behind the scenes as votes are being counted as we speak and have been for the last 2 weeks. The mail-in ballots, the military overseas votes. The vote is being rigged in a very real way. And the Republican Party is full of traitors. It's full of traitors. It's the only way I can explain it, because you can't be this incompetent. You can't accidentally fail to uphold the most basic tenets of our republic in the way that they are. It's really astonishing, and I'm going to issue a very real call to action about this. And I kind of just want to, like, plan it out here. Maybe we'll just take your calls. Because it's like, we have so many people, we have so many great reporters, great investigators, activists on our side. And it's like, if we don't activate right now, we have 11 days left. If we don't put a stop to the fraud, the grifting, the scams going on right now, campaigns don't matter. None of it matters. They're rigging the vote. I'll tell you how they're doing it. I'll tell you what you can do to stop them in just a second. We'll begin today. However, as we always do with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 24th of October, 2024. Swing state McDonald's threatened after Trump visit. Owner retains private security. Yes, and yet another example of the loving unity of the left. Donald Trump does a fun photo op at McDonald's, and now they had to hire private security because they're being attacked. The Mijos family was enjoying a meal Monday at McDonald's in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, the same restaurant where former President Trump worked the drive-thru Sunday. They noticed something peculiar, strange. A group of armed guards clad in bulletproof vests. Yeah, they'd been receiving threatening phone calls and social media messages following Trump's visit. Jim Worthington, the leader of Pennsylvania's delegation at the Republican National Convention, is one of the key organizers of the Trump-McDonald's visit, told DCNF. As a precaution to protect his employees, the franchise owner, Derek, Italian last name, has retained the private security force he hired in the lead-up to the event, said Worthington, who was communicating on behalf of the owner of the McDonald's. It's just typical, you know, Republicans do something very simple and fun and just a typical whatever campaign event. You go out, you kiss babies, you serve hot dogs, you work in McDonald's for an afternoon, and the left just flips out about it. Trump is Hitler. This was all staged. They weren't real customers. Like, just flipping out about it, and then the store is getting threatening phone calls. It's just like, yeah, we just can't live with these people. These people can't be tolerated much longer. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris gives this speech in front of the Vice President Mansion, calling Trump Hitler, a completely hilarious Hail Mary, desperate fraud. I mean, it's just the desperation. It reeks. Trump blasts degenerate lowlife John Kelly over Hitler allegations. Former President Donald J. Trump, the GOP, blah, 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 has responded to reports published Tuesday in The Atlantic in which John Kelly, Trump's former chief of staff, claimed that Trump wanted generals like Hitler and declared that Nazis, quote, did some good things. Oh, my God. Yeah, who cares? No one cares. I'm not even going to comment on it because who cares? Shut up, John Kelly. You're a liar. You're an idiot. If this was such a big concern, why'd you wait until 2 weeks before the election to bring it out? Because you're a political hack. Nobody cares. Literally, nobody cares. Although some people care. Some people do care in the sense that they care about the office of the vice presidency being used to launch a partisan attack to benefit a campaign against somebody that half of America is voting for by calling him Hitler. See, that is a violation of the Hatch Act. So people do care about that. Some people do care about that. Representative Corey Mills is asking Attorney General Merrick Garland to investigate Vice President Kamala Harris over comments she made at a Washington, D.C. press conference. In a Wednesday letter sent to Garland and shared with Washington Examiner, Mills accused Harris of possibly violating the Hatch Act, which prohibits using official resources to support partisan political campaigns due to her vicious political attacks against former President Donald Trump. I don't know if there's ever been a more clear violation of the Hatch Act. I mean, they didn't even couch it in... You know, it's not like she was giving an official press conference as vice president about something that concerns the American people and happened to mention at the time that Donald Trump. No, she gave she stood in front of the presidential podium with the seal of the United States in front of the vice president's mansion, operating in her official capacity as vice president, and gave a campaign speech where she slandered her opponent. If that's not a violation of the Hatch Act, I don't know what is. So something has to be done about that. Meanwhile, this was a major story yesterday. It's in the New York Times, but as reported in the New York Post, woke doc refused to publish $10 million trans kids study that showed puberty blockers didn't help mental health. A prominent doctor and trans right activist admitted she deliberately withheld publication of a $10 million taxpayer-funded study on the effects of puberty blockers on American children after finding no evidence that they improve patients' mental health. Dr. Johanna Olson Kennedy told the New York Times that she believed the study would be weaponized by critics of transgender care for kids, and the research could one day be used in court to argue we shouldn't use blockers. Again, do we even need to expand on this? It's the same thing over and over. It's if their policy, if their beliefs contradict reality, reality gets the short straw. They submerge reality in what they want to be true. It's a dangerous mindset, but it's their mindset. I mean, this is just what they do. Negative outcomes are buried, covered up, hidden, called hate speech, whatever it is, whether it's the crime rate or the, you know, crime from immigration or the effect of puberty blockers or the effectiveness of the vaccine. Like, time and time again, they have something they want to push. It is totally unrelated and divorced from reality and actual positive outcomes, but it doesn't matter because that's not what they care about. They care about their ideology. They care about pushing this agenda that they're on. And they know it's not good. They know that it doesn't actually help the children, but they're pushing it anyway because they're, I don't know, evil scumbag, insane psychopaths. Like, who cares? Who knows? I don't know, but it's dangerous and has to end. These people have to be punished, held to account. This is the sort of a theme that we're getting here is people keep breaking laws and violating oaths and just acting immorally and just lying to our faces, and nothing's ever done about it. So why don't we do something about it, for the love of God? I'm just trying to calm down here. Defense Ministry orders a fallen IDF soldier's family to remove headstone. The Defense Ministry of Israel is attempting to reach an agreement with the family of Sergeant David Bogdanovsky, who fell in battle in the South Gaza Strip in December, to remove a cross from his headstone. By law, it's not permissible to place a cross or other religious marker on a military headstone, the ministry said. So a Christian died fighting for Israel, and now Israel is suing to remove his headstone because it has a cross. And for the moment, the cross has been covered up by a blanket. That headstone has been covered up because you can't have a cross. Because they hate Jesus. I don't know if you're aware of this. You know, Israel doesn't use the plus sign because it looks too much like a cross. They have their own plus sign. It's like a plus sign, but with the top cut off, so it's just a line and then a line underneath it. That's what they use as a plus sign, as to avoid even accidentally making the sign of the cross, which is like crazy, which is like a crazy Nazi-level censorship insanity. And it's one of the things where people always – and it is kind of annoying when you have like a picture of Benjamin Netanyahu and he's got like a Hitler mustache, and they're like, the Zionists are the real Nazis. It's like, well, that – Not really. No, the Nazis. That's just historically illiterate. But when it comes to like severity of censorship, and like this isn't out of the line of what you would expect the Nazis to do, right? Like, if the Nazis were in power and a Jewish guy serving in the Nazi army and died, and then they said, well, sorry, you have to remove his headstone because it has a Star of David and that's not allowed. Like, I don't even know if the Nazis went that far. I think you could, I mean, they made the Jews wear Stars of David. So, you know, I don't know. It's like farther than the Nazis went, I think. I think if you were a Jew in Nazi Germany, you could still have a 6-pointed star on your headstone, but not as a Christian in Israel in 2024. So there is that. Greatest allies, remember? That's your Daily Dispatch. Now, I got a call yesterday. I'll just tell you how I experienced this and just give you the insight I received. I get a call yesterday from my dad. I answer the phone. Hey, what's up, Dad? He is on the line with the head Republican poll watcher of Harris County, Houston, Texas. And she is freaking out and begging for help. And she starts, we're on the phone for like an hour, and she's just going the entire time, just laying out the fraud and how it's working and what's happening and how the Republicans are doing nothing to stop it. And this is in Harris County in particular. It's been coordinated by Rodney Ellis in that city. We covered the story yesterday. Harris County election supervisor hasn't shown up to work in 4 years, hasn't clocked in since 2020. So there's that. But this woman, she is in her 70s. And she, at the time that I was talking to her, was on her way to get a new rental car because her car had been vandalized by activists who were mad that she was working as a Republican poll watcher. And the things that she described going on are just, it's just rife with fraud. they told her as a poll watcher. So she starts talking about all the things that they're doing. And she's talking about the fact that all of the ballot scanners that they have, there's only one particular, it's crazy. So she's talking about, getting in contact with Greg Abbott and trying to get help from the Republican Party, trying to get the governor to do stuff. The crew just threw up a headline that's like, Texas is sending state inspectors to Harris County. They're not. They're poll watchers and there are inspectors. They need to send inspectors, but they're not. And for 2 weeks already, the vote counting has been going on behind the scenes. And it is entirely insecure. There's absolutely no oversight whatsoever as pallets of ballots are being moved from the post office to the office of the Democrat in power running elections in Harris County. Then they get moved 30, 45 minutes to the airport where they're supposed to be counted. Never is there a chain of custody being followed. There's no security to make sure that the ballots are the ones that were sent in. They're all open. She kept saying there are boxes of open ballots that are, and she's just watching them being transferred from some dude's Tahoe, goes in the back, pulls out a big box of open ballots, goes and drops them off in the clerk's office. And then at one point later in the day, they get driven to the airport. At no point is there oversight. At no point is there control of this. Then you've got scanners that apparently the scanners that they have, these $20,000 machines that they're operating, have to have like 10 by 11 paper, some unique size of paper. You can't be 8 by 11. And it has to be the full ballot with all like 8 pages or something ridiculous. So people, when they mail in ballot, they might just vote on the first page for president and senator and then send it in. If they receive that one page or 2 pages and it's not the full 8 page, then a Democratic operative takes the ballot, opens the ballot, sees who the person voted for, and then fills out a new ballot on behalf of that person, and then I guess throws that ballot away. So you've got Democratic operatives. She said there's 2 of them scrawled away in the back of some office somewhere, sitting there with a box full of supposedly sent in mail-in ballots, removing the ballot. One person reads it and says, okay, they voted for this person. The other person sits there, fills it out, puts it in a bin. No oversight. Nobody's watching this. No poll watchers allowed. They actually told this woman, and she's like freaking out and is like, we need help. The intimidation, the harassment that she's facing as a 75-year-old woman. By the way, this whole thing is run by Rodney Ellis, and it's basically like it's the black community activists. It's these people who just, they're in the black community, but they just continually exploit and, poison it. Democratic politics. This lady, she's so nice. She's like not saying it that way, but she's like, you don't understand. They're like intimidating us. They've got these like, they're these like really big guys, and these guys are really scary. And they won't let us in, and they keep getting in my way. And when I went to my car, all the windows were broken and horrible words were scratched all throughout it. Like, they're intimidating. They are threatening. They are harassing poll watchers in Harris County. So what she said to me, she's like, I don't know who you are. Your dad says you have a show. We need men. We need big men to help us, because the only people doing this are like a couple old ladies in Harris County. And there's like 6'5" black dudes just like blocking their way and not letting them in. And this woman is like, I'm scared to go back. I'm scared to be a poll watcher. We need men just to be there to like counter the intimidation factor that's being leveled at us. So this is like the call to action. And it's not just Harris County. It's not just Houston where this is happening. Every major city has this type of operation going on. Oh, sorry. So let me go back. So there's three types of ballots, right? There's the in-person ballot. There's the absentee ballot. And then there's the mail-in ballot. And there's a difference between those two. The absentee ballots, the official, as have always happened, somebody's not in town, so they have to fill out a special ballot and send it in. There are procedures in law to deal with that and provide poll watchers for that. With the mail-in ballots, because it was so haphazardly implemented during 2020, because it was just sort of arbitrarily established, there's no oversight, to the point that they were actually telling this poll watcher woman that I was talking to, it's illegal to watch us open mail-in ballots. They say because there's no law saying that we have to be observed, that means that the law is de facto that if you try to observe us, you're breaking the law. So every mail-in ballot is being opened and then refilled out by Democratic operatives in a back room with no oversight. And when Republican poll watchers try to get in, they shut it down. They move everybody out. They intimidate and harass the Republican poll watchers. They're going to the Texas governor and begging for help. Texas governors. And again, it's like we have traitors. There are traitors in the Republican Party. It's the only explanation, because otherwise the explanation that they're providing is that they just trust the Democrats. Like they're just like, well, we'll adjudicate it afterwards if there's any problems. Your job is just to sort of observe and watch. And if you see something wrong, then you let us know. And we'll see if we can get somebody on that. And then maybe after the election, we'll go through and look it over. And the woman is saying, she's talking to another poll watcher woman who's going, no, there's no possibility for them to cheat. Like, so I know the woman. She's so nice. She's doing it. And of course, it's this just radical leftist Democrat activist who, of course, is going to cheat like an insane person. But the Republicans are so either naive or trusting or whatever it is. They just like don't even suspect that cheating could go on. And the woman talking to me is going, they could add ballots when they pick it up from the post office. They can be adding ballots at the clerk's office where the ballots are taken for some reason. Nobody knows. Then they've got this 45-minute drive to the airport. Who knows how many ballots are being taken out or added at that point. Then they have some Democratic operative woman, two of them, sitting in a back room transferring the ballots from the incomplete ones to the complete ones. So they go through the scanner. By the way, every single military ballot is on an 8x11 piece of paper, cannot be fed through the machine. Every single person in the military in Texas, Harris County in particular, that is sending their mail in by vote because they're stationed overseas, every single one of them is having their vote entrusted in the hands of unaccountable backroom Democratic operatives who are being trusted on their honor to fill out the ballot as the way that they think. Do you think the guys in the military would be happy with that? Do you think the Marines, the Green Berets, the Rangers stationed overseas mailing in their vote would be happy to know that it's being opened up and then transferred by some Democratic operative in a back room somewhere? And again, she just went on and on for a full hour talking about all the things that they're doing. So this is the call to action. We cannot sit idly by. We cannot allow them to get away with this. Everything else comes secondary at this point. All of the arguments, all of the appearances, all of the interviews, all of the debates mean absolutely nothing if for the last 2 weeks and for the next 2 weeks, Democratic operatives have sole control of every mail-in ballot with absolutely no oversight, able to change, alter, or destroy votes at their whim. Nobody doing anything about it. Republicans not helping at all. If there's one, if I could cash in, you know, 4 years of doing this show, 4 years of trying to warn you about, I never ask you to do anything other than go to InfoWarsStore.com. I ask you to share the links. I ask you to do that. Go volunteer to be a poll watcher. Go today to volunteer to be a poll watcher, especially if you are a man. Go volunteer to be a poll watcher to provide security or, you know, an intimidation factor to the little old ladies that are the only ones seemingly upholding our republic in this final hour against the inordinate avalanche of fraud that is openly being
now,
conducted.
Now, the one thing I want you to do, if I could ask you to do anything for America and Alex and this network and this crew, the one thing I would ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club. It's $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy a $35 shirt, you might as well sign up for the VIP Club so that you can get that extra $10 and just get the shirt that you want. That is going to ensure that we can fund this operation, fund the next operation, ensure that Alex always has a voice. They can try to steal his identity. They can try to steal his business. They can try to steal America. They can try to sacrifice humanity in nuclear genocide. But if you go to thealexjonesstore.com and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club, they'll never take away our voice. They'll never take away our freedom. They'll never take away free speech, and we can save America together. Please go now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, when I say I'm excited about bringing you the ultimate gut cleanse, exclusively available at thegallowshowstore.com, I'm not joking around. We don't sit there and shoot in the dark. We go out and we find what are already the best-selling, highest-rated products in the country, and we say, hey, we'd like to private label it, but we'd like you to make it a little bit stronger for us, so it's proprietary. You got it right here. The ultimate gut cleanse. This is not just a gut cleanse. It's not just a detox. It doesn't just have natural ingredients that gently get rid of parasites. Oh, it's got that covered. It's then got a whole bunch of stuff in it like saw palmetto that's good for all your glands. And even the government admits great for men's prostates. And it goes on and on. I cannot read all the ingredients. They're concentrated. They're incredible. You want to get it right now at thealexjonesstore.com for between 30 and 50% off. 50% off if you do the combo and get it with the ultimate probiotic.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections, masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taken place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com. Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. I was just saying during the break, you know, don't forget to encourage people to vote. Is it true? When you talk about voter fraud, it can be disincentivizing for people who think, you know, why would I vote if all of this fraud is going on? It doesn't even matter what I do. The reason they're so aggressively changing the rules and trying to defraud the election is because they have to, because they're not winning. You have to vote. Yeah, everybody has to vote. I say vote in person. I say any step in between you casting the vote and the vote being tabulated is a vector of attack that they can exploit. We showed videos yesterday in Illinois and other places where they're saying, well, the scanner's down, so you just fill in a temporary ballot and we'll make sure to fill it in once the machine's up and running. I say don't do that. I say don't mail in your vote unless it's necessary. If you can, go on the day or early voting, get your vote in person, scan it, tabulate it, get the receipt for it. That's the most secure way to do it. That way is very, very difficult for them to defraud. It's the mail-in ballots that are their main vector of attack. And it can be defrauded in a million different ways, and they are doing it. But they're doing it because they have to. Because if they don't do it, they're going to lose. And if enough Trump supporters get out there and vote, then it won't matter how many results they change or ballots they destroy. There is such a thing as too big to rig. There is such a thing as so many people voting for Trump that the votes do not exist for them to fraudulently tally for Kamala Harris. So what I'm saying about them cheating in the election should not disincentivize you. It should incentivize you. Knowing what they're doing should, to me, infuriate you. They are trying to steal your vote. Don't let them. Go vote. Do it the right way. Do it in person. But importantly, go volunteer to be a poll watcher. Right now, today, I know there's a lot of people listening to me right now that like think it's a great idea. Yeah, people should sign up to volunteer. Maybe I will, but you know, I got this. I would just rather not, though. You know, it seems like a whole thing. It's very easy. It's very simple, and you can listen to me tell you third hand about what's going on, or you can see it yourself. You can actually be a person that catches this, and you can be effective. And that's what this woman was saying. She's like, they all know who I am. And she's like, they've got people watching me, or they've got people on the inside, because she's like, every time I report something, it changes to the point where she's like going around asking, who do all these cars belong to? Because the county clerk's office or the whatever election clerk, why are there five $120,000 cars in the parking lot? And she's looking around going, all right, all these people are like government employees. How do they all have $100,000 cars? And she brings this up, and then the next day, none of those cars are in the parking lot, right? When she catches them in the back room filling out the mail-in ballots and goes, what the hell is going on here? You can't do this. They shut it down. They go, oh, sorry, we didn't realize. Oh, geez, poll watchers, you say? Well, we'll shut this down for now, and we'll see if we can get this worked out. You can interrupt their processes. You can stop them from doing what they're doing. The thing they fear the most is sunlight and awareness of the schemes that they're trying to pull. And as long as Republicans are stupid enough to trust the Democrats and not being skeptical about their claims, yeah, don't worry about it. We'll pick up the votes from UPS or from the post office, and we'll keep them in our office for a little while. But, you know, trust us, even though the ballots are open and we get to, you know, determine who they're voting for and then vote on their behalf later with a new ballot, it's all on the up and up. We're Democrats. You can trust us. Like, as long as the Republicans are stupid enough to let that go on, you can't trust the Republican Party. You absolutely cannot trust the Democrats, but you can stop them. You can interrupt them. Your presence alone is enough to get the whole machine grinding to a halt. That's the thing. They're in the back room. They're all alone. There's no oversight. Nobody reporting on what they're doing. No media attention. No politicians sticking their noses in it. They can just sit there and fill out ballots all day. Just one after another, no problem. Easy. No. As soon as somebody steps in, as soon as somebody goes, what are you doing back there? Well, nothing. Don't worry about it. We're not doing anything over here. It has to stop. Like, they have to stop it. So you can stop the fraud. You can overcome the fraud by voting. We can overwhelm this system, no matter how sophisticated and corrupt it is, with enough people voting. You have to vote. You have to vote. You have to vote. That's the easiest possible thing you can do. But any man out there, especially, and this call was to Houston, you don't think this is going on in Philadelphia? You don't think this is going on in Pittsburgh? You don't think this is going on in New York? It's going on everywhere. The Democrats have a highly orchestrated, extremely sophisticated machinery of voter fraud at work as we speak. The whole thing could be interrupted. You can be the stick in the spokes of this machine by going and volunteering. It's incredibly easy. If you're in Texas, you go to votetexas.org. I think that's what it is, or .gov rather. Votetexas.gov. You take a very brief survey from the Secretary of State to make sure you're qualified to be an election poll watcher. And then you go and be a poll watcher. You can do it for an hour. You can do it every day from now until the election. And of course, you know, this woman I'm talking to is going, all of our people have jobs. All of our people are having to work all day. The Democrats have seemingly an endless supply of people with no job and nothing better to do than to be here intimidating, harassing Republican poll watchers. So I don't know. I'm what angle do I need to appeal to you to convince you to do this, right? To get you to do this. Just know that there's little old 75-year-old women that are being intimidated and harassed by Democratic operative activists trying to stop them from poll watching. And they're like desperate for just a man to be there so that the intimidation doesn't work. And so that they don't feel like they can get away with this stuff by bullying little old Republican ladies. So like Republican men, can I shame you into doing this? Are you not ashamed that it's little old women trying to uphold your republic and begging you for help and you're not there volunteering? Again, we'll get into some of the campaign stuff. We'll get into some of this trash. But, you know, the other stuff, again, you know, Republicans are so good. Like, they're so they love following rules. They trust the system. So I'm trying to tell this lady, like, you need a button pin camera. You need a little camera. So everything you're telling me, if just one of these things was on camera, it would be bombshell national news. And she's like, well, but we're not allowed to film. I don't want to break the law. It's like, okay. Okay, that's fine. But what you're describing is wholesale theft of an election. So what do we do here? I'm trying to work with her to be like, all right, well, when you see people moving boxes of ballots from their private vehicle into the clerk's office, no oversight, no chain of custody, no guarantees, no signatures, no initializing the zip ties to make sure it's all, you know, on the up and up. That's in a public place. You got to film that. Film the parking lot. Film. You need to be not breaking. I don't want to encourage people to break the law, but certainly operating within the law to whatever level you can, or, you know, doing something where you're capturing images only to give it to a journalist who can conceal their source, conceal your identity, because this needs to be known the way they're pulling this off. And thing I don't understand, I was talking to my dad about after we talked to this woman. And like, we're trying to rationalize, really, it's like, what is wrong with Republicans? Well, like, just what is wrong with them? And even from a, you know, a personal ambition standpoint, does Ted Cruz want to get reelected again? Or does he want Colin Allred to take his place? Does Ted Cruz care about, you know, whether he's elected into office or not? Because if he does, he should probably be using some amount of his influence, some amount of his power as a senator for the state of Texas to step in and get attention on this and get awareness on this. So it's like, it's not even like you have to believe in conspiracy theories. It's not that you have to, it's like, even for your own personal ambition, don't you want to put a stop to the theft that's going on? But like, they don't. I don't get it. I don't know why. But the Republicans just can't do it. The Democrats have this just like highly sophisticated machinery full of people that are like full-time activists. It's all they do all day, every day. They're the lowest scum of the earth. They're moral blanks. They don't care what they're doing is wrong. They're getting paid to do it. So they're willing to break the law. They're willing to go above and beyond. They're willing to harass people. They're willing to vandalize cars. Like, they are all in. They're so extreme. No holds barred. And then on the other side, you've got Republicans going, well, they seem really nice, though. But, you know, I don't have any proof they're cheating, so I don't want to make accusations. And it's just like, all right, so we're going to lose. So we're just going to lose. You're just going to let them steal Texas rather than just stop them from doing that. It's crazy. It's crazy. And even this lady was like, she's like a wealthy donor, like Houston, you know, activist. And for one thing, it's like, she doesn't need to be doing this. Where are the young people? Where are the not retired people, you know, putting in the work here? It's just infuriating. It's just happening right now in real time. And it's like, I've been thinking about this because it's like, we got 2 weeks to the election and I'm just racking my brain praying, saying, what can I do? What is the most important thing for me to use my platform for in this last 2 weeks? And it's got to be this. If I could get just 0.5% of our audience to just go do this, we could actually have a tangible effect. In cities all over the country, you'd have two or three, at the bare minimum, just two or three people in every city that's hearing my voice, just went and volunteered and became a poll watcher and just stopped them doing what they're doing. Your presence alone is enough. Your observation, your awareness of what's going on forces them to not just wholesale steal the election. So please, I'm begging you, not for my own sake, not because it gets me anything, but because it's necessary for saving the republic. So many people, the last 4 years, what are we going to do about the steal? What are we going to do? Why aren't we? We've advocated for legal change. We've advocated for them undoing the mail-in ballot system. Nobody's done anything. And up till now, there's not been a lot of volunteer opportunities for people to actually get directly involved. But if you've ever asked that question, if you've ever been frustrated at the Republicans not doing enough to stop voter fraud, if you've ever sat there thinking, gosh, I just wish there was something I could do, something physical, something active, something that's not just watching or talking about or whatever. And this is why they hate InfoWars, right? If we can't pull off a resistance, then like, why are we even here? There's other people that can talk about the stuff that we talk about. They fear InfoWars because we tell you take it to the street, because we tell you stop being someone on the sidelines, stop being an observer, start being an active participant. This is your country. It's your birthright. It's your vote they're stealing. So get out, get involved, volunteer, become a poll watcher, stop their crimes. Today, go to Google, how to become a poll watcher, click the button, now you're a poll watcher, they'll tell you where to go, you go there, you hang out, you watch, you observe, you report back to us if you see anything untoward, anything interesting, anything worth noting. I'm trying to do more, I'm trying to work behind the scenes, I'm trying to get her hooked up with maybe some other more mainstream reporters that can help get this out into the mainstream, get it out into the, like really expose what's going on. It's not worth it exposing it after it's done. That's why I feel so, you know, compelled to do this right now, how urgent this is. Because, sure, you know, maybe 2 weeks after the election, you could get a report going, here are all the ways an undercover investigation recovered all the ways that the mail-in voting process was messed up. Like, that's like the Republican idea. The Republican idea is, well, we'll let it all happen and then we'll investigate. So you just be marking down things that you see. So later, once the fraud occurs, we can go back and see what happened. No, we have 11 days to stop this. We have 11 days to interrupt this. We have 11 days of warfare ahead of us. That's how we have to be treating it. So please, for the love of God, go volunteer. Go become a poll watcher. Go become a poll worker. Go put your body physically in between the Democrats and their cheating. Please, for the love of God. It's all I want. It's all I ask. It could be my birthday and Christmas present. Just go volunteer. Get active. And it's as simple as that. Because the Democrats are doing it. Democrats have the operatives. They have the people full-time carrying out their orders. We have nobody. We have nobody but you. Nobody else is going to do it. No Republican donors are going to pour a bunch of money into an operation to do this. It's too late for any of that. We still have time for you to volunteer, to go put yourself in between the Democrats and their fraud. Just you tell me, what do I need to do to get you to do this? Do we need to offer a prize? Do we need to have a contest of some sort? Or is it enough that it's the fate of our republic in the balance? It's all I can do is try to use this platform to compel people to do this. We'll probably open up the phone lines for your calls. Maybe you can give me some ideas on how better to do this. But if you don't volunteer, if you don't go become a poll watcher, you kind of give up your right to complain afterwards, okay? So if you're planning on bitching about the election being stolen in the first week of November, you have no right, if you aren't doing something active today, to go become a poll watcher. Okay. Is that enough? Have I done it enough? It's just crazy. It's just one of those things. It's like everything in the conspiracy world where it's like hard to believe at first. And then you go a little deeper and you realize the thing that you were shocked and appalled at is just like the bare minimum. It's like just scratching the surface. And that was the effect this phone call was having on me, was just like envisioning this massive, well-oiled machine, this ant nest of activists just working in perfect coordination, opening the mail-in ballots, opening the military ballots, claiming that the scanners don't work, so, oh, we're going to have to do this by hand. And then up against this massive machine are like three women in Harris County. Three women out of, you know, 3 point whatever million Republicans, there's three women trying to uphold the integrity of the entire election for that city. I guarantee you it's the same thing in every major city in America. Kind of shameful. My dad's doing it. My dad signed up to be a poll watcher. And she literally, like on the phone, she's literally begging. She's like, I just need you there by my side. I just need you so that they don't feel like they can bully me. I just need you there to stand next to me so, like, when they try to harass me, there's a 6'4" adult man next to me just to make them think twice. Like, that's where we're at this point. Is like, even volunteer to be a poll watcher, but what you're going there to do is be a bodyguard for the you know, people who are really making things happen. We're just descending into a third world country is basically what's happening. Basically, we can stop it now. We can put a stop to this now, or this could just be the way things go. And you just have, like, this just becomes regular where it's just like, all right, the Democratic Party and all of their activists who just are on the government payroll full time their whole lives. And they just, all they do their entire lives is dedicated to defrauding the system. And it's just whoever pays more gets more votes, and what was once a thriving republic just descends into total autocracy, total chaos, Congo level election engineering. It's wild. It truly is. So many videos to get to, and there's so many events that have occurred over the last 2 days, each more absurd than the last. They're calling Trump Hitler, you guys. Can you believe it? I had no idea. No, this is really shocking. I was going to vote for him, but then John Kelly said 4 years ago, he said Hitler did some good things, and now I don't know anymore. Now I just don't know anymore. It's so ridiculous. From the postmillennial, Trump blast degenerate lowlife John Kelly over Hitler allegations. Honestly, there's something so childish about this. It's really hard to believe that we got to this point. And there was a tweet somebody put out, like, they really want you to take this seriously. They're angry that people aren't taking this seriously. Jason Kent on X says of this John Kelly bombshell, "This isn't an October surprise. It's incredible journalism across multiple outlets, a confirmation from a respected witness, and audio to back it up. It will break through as it should." This isn't an October surprise, okay? This isn't some political gotcha moment. This is real, amazing journalism, groundbreaking stuff with a respected witness, okay? People are going to see how important and real this is. And it has audio, okay? So you can't say it's fake because there's audio behind it. Now, let me play you the audio that he's talking about. And this is just American politics at this point. It's clip number 17. I just read you what this was posted with. This is more than an October surprise. This is journalism at its finest. And this will break through, and it will destroy Trump once and for all. Here it is, the major bombshell story that has rocked the presidential campaign with audio to prove that it really happened. Let's listen to the audio now.
He commented more than once that, you know, that Hitler did some good things too. And of course, if you know history, again, I think he's lacking in that. But if you know what Hitler was all about, it'd be pretty hard to make an argument that he did anything good.
So what would you say when he said to you that Hitler did a lot of good things?
Well, I tell him that. I said, you know, sir, first of all, you should never say that. But if you knew what Hitler was all about from the beginning to the end, everything he did was in support of his racist, fascist, life, philosophy, so that nothing he did you could argue was good. It was certainly not done for the right reason. But he would occasionally say that.
What would he say when you would lay that out to him?
That'd be the end of the conversation usually.
Whoa, bombshell, you guys. Bombshell, crazy bombshell. John Kelly references a conversation he said he had with Trump where he explained Hitler bad because racism. Whoa, how will Trump survive? That was the audio he was talking about. Like, they portray it as if it's like there's audio to back this up, as if it's Trump being like, you know, I actually love Hitler. There's audio of Trump, you know, actually Hitler's great and I model myself out. No, it's literally audio of John Kelly being like, well, I explained that Hitler was a racist. So even good things he did are bad because racism. It's like, wow, oh, I never thought of it that way. Of course, the ultimate irony of this is, Trump is absolutely right. Obviously, Hitler did some good things. That he was Time's Man of the Year. Like, maybe multiple times. Was it multiple times? No, he was Time's Man of the Year in like 1935. The Autobahn, Volkswagen. I mean, but this is the thing. I guess the big scandal is that Trump doesn't adhere to the childish cartoon villain version of history where you're supposed to just be like, no, but Hitler bad, racism bad, so all things Hitler did bad. It's like, I hate communism, I hate Stalin. Somebody was like, well, you know, Stalin did some good things. I don't even know any good things Stalin did, but I'm sure there are some. Yeah, he was a human being. He led a country for years. You can't do that without doing one or two good things. But no, because Trump isn't a little baby, it's a scandal.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products, like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at the AlexJonesStore.com, Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger, of one of the top, highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high-quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion, at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I thank you for your support.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour is on. This is the American Journal. I'm going to go to a video here that I just find very charming, I guess you could say. It's NFL star Le'Veon Bell describing his experience just hanging out with Donald Trump. And it's similar to most people when they talk about hanging out with Donald Trump. They're just like in awe at what his life is like. And I think it's very illuminating and a very funny statement about what it's like hanging out and being with Donald Trump. Let's watch.
If I told y'all, hey, last 2 days ain't been insane, ain't been the craziest 2 days of my life, I would be lying. Not only the rally was crazy. I done fought, I done played big football games, playoff games, like what she said. Super Bowls. I've never had a feeling like I had 2 days ago at that rally when I was behind that mic in front of America. Like, in front of, like, maybe more than just America, bro. I was in front of, like, millions of people, bro. And let me tell you how real Trump is. Because, one, I didn't know I was going to get caught up on the stage. I did not know that. I knew A.B. was going to do his speech. I knew I was going to go on stage with A.B. Because A.B. was like, yeah, you coming on stage with me, boy. Shout out to A.B. for that. Because A.B. a real one for that. See, A.B. bring me on stage with you. When Trump went up there and talked, bro, I had no idea. No, zero clue that I was going, he's going to call me on stage, right? Not only do he call me on stage, you know, shake my hand, you know what I'm saying? He talked to me a little bit, but I'm just thinking like, all right, that's going to be it. I'm cool with that. Got my little photo op, I'm cool. All right, boom, I'm flick it up with Trump, took his hand, I'm cool. Bro, he like literally looked me right in my face and he just backed up. And he was like, you got anything to say? You can say it. Like, but he holds his arm out like this, bro. Basically said like, yeah, the mic yours. Hey, y'all, I got so nervous, bro. I got shook. I see the mic wide open. I'm like, damn, but this is my opportunity. I'm like, shit, I can say whatever I want on this thing, but it's like, I didn't want to embarrass myself or say nothing too crazy, you know what I'm saying? But I wasn't about to not say nothing. So I got on there and said whatever. I think I said go Trump or vote for Trump or something. But I was wish, like, I wasn't so nervous. But what basically I'm trying to say is, bro, Trump a real one, bro. He a real one. Like, he ain't tell me, like, they ain't gonna let me say anything or nothing. He ain't tell me gonna call me up, bro. He just did that, bro. Off the love. I get it. He might, you know what I'm saying, want to win the election, whatever. But I'm trying to tell y'all, bro, he didn't have to do that. Like, I could have went up there and just really, I could have messed up everything. I could have went on the stage, bro, got on that mic and messed up everything. That's why y'all don't understand that Trump is a real one, bro. Sunday come, we got the tailgate. The tailgate was crazy. The Steel fans came out. We had basically like another little mini rally, whatever. But, bro, it was crazy. The fans were amazing. It was hot, but AB came out. Hey, we had a blast, bro. The tailgate was crazy. After the tailgate, we go to the airport, to like a little private little airport thing. Now we with the little Secret Service, little agent people. Cause we about to link with Trump. Cause now we going to the game with Trump. I want y'all to, bro, wrap your mind around this. Le'Veon Bell, me, myself. But I can play with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can play with the New York Jets. I am about to watch this football game, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Jets play. And I'm about to watch this game with Donald Trump. I'm about to ride with him to the game. Secret Service. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't think y'all really processing what I'm trying to say. Then we get to the game. Oh, I can't tip this part. So the airport, like, if you just a normal ride to the airport, from the airport to the stadium, it's going to take you 50 minutes, 55 minutes. But when you ride presidential, bro, we got there in 8.5 minutes. 8.5 minutes. They had all the exits blocked off. Literally, when we was driving, there was no cars on the road. I'm like, literally watching, like, bro, this is crazy. It was literally like out of a movie. I would not believe this. From the plane to the car, it was moving so fast, like the little soldiers, bro. I wish y'all could have seen them with their guns. Posted a video. I know y'all seen Call of Duty. It's how they roll 24/7 and be quick, militant, everything moving fast, super fast. I was low key feeling slow because I didn't know what the hell was going on. So I'm just like looking around. Just next thing you know, I see the security agent all the way up there. So I'm like trying to film everything. So I look down, I pull up Snapchat. Next you know, they all up there. I'm like, oh, damn, I'm about to get left. But we get to the game in 8.5 minutes. We get up to the suite, bro, and I'm watching the game with Donald J. Trump. Now, in there, I wish I could have more footage for y'all. I couldn't be on my phone, be on his face. Like, we ain't cool like that yet. But we gonna get there. But now I'm watching the game. Donald J. Trump is, like, literally in the next suite. And I'm watching the New York Jets and the Pittsburgh Steelers play with the president.
but y'all not hearing me, bro. Where I came from, ain't nobody where I came from doing that. You get what I'm trying to say?
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm Dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexshowstore.com. But I personally like this one, Murdered Out. It fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like Murdered Out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and T-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexshowstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again Murdered Out, and we've got the Save the Frogs, over 50 designs, all at thealexshowstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexshowstore.com and get your Patriot gear.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. It was a big day in politics. They tried to do, like, by my count, I think they tried three October surprises in one day. Not a single one of them worked. Really, really very embarrassing, actually, for them. It's very embarrassing. They tried launching a Trump once said that Hitler did good things scandal, John Kelly. Apparently they had a conversation 4 years ago in which John Kelly condescendingly told Trump to think of Hitler like a cartoon evil villain. So, wow, incredible bombshell. Kamala Harris gave a speech about this in front of the presidential podium. It was so important. Nobody cares. Nobody believes you. You're all liars, so who cares? Then they tried something about a Mexican soldier and the funeral costing too much. Some ridiculous nonsense. That quote was from an unverified, unconfirmed source, while two verified sources who were there completely discount and debunk that story. And even the family of the soldiers said, how dare you publicize, how dare you politicize his death like that? It's completely untrue. Trump was nothing but courteous and generous and helpful to us. So that one totally failed. Then they tried to launch a 32 years ago Trump groped me with Jeffrey Epstein scandal that just on the face of it couldn't possibly be true.
Like, where was she in 2016?
Yeah.
No, or 2020?
Yeah, they waited through. She waited through 2016. She waited through his presidency. She waited through 2020. It was only in 2024 did she finally get the courage to stand up against her. Now, it's all nonsense. And I'll tell you why I'm so...
And she's also a Democrat operative for Barack Obama.
Yeah, as if you needed more. But, you know, all of that to the side, there is a very simple reason why this absolutely never happened. And that it's that time is a straight line and doesn't bend back on itself. She's a former model. Stacey Williams claimed Donald Trump groped her 31 years ago. Sure. She claims she met Donald Trump through Jeffrey Epstein. Here's the problem. The story she tells, she says, quote, late winter of 1993, I was on a walk with Jeffrey Epstein from his brownstone on the Upper East Side down Fifth Avenue when Jeffrey looked at me and said, you know what, let's go by and see Trump, which is impossible because Epstein only moved to the Wexler Mansion, that brownstone she's describing, in 1996. Okay, so she's lying. She's lying in an attempt to defame Trump and rig the election. This is what they do. I mean,
can I give you a little cherry on top?
Yeah.
She decided to release this bombshell, in quotes, on Kamala's campaign with a group called Survivors for Kamala.
Survivors for Kamala. She survived. I really hate the way the word survivor is used these days.
Just to try to turn all women against Trump subliminally, right, with the survivors for Kamala.
No, but she survived. No, look, she was groped by Trump and she didn't die. So she's a survivor of Donald Trump. Yeah, Donald Trump is like a rogue from the X-Men. If he gropes you, he might drain your life energy. But she survived, thank God. Nope, impossible. She's describing walking from Jeffrey Epstein's brownstone 3 years before he even owned it. So temporally, it's impossible because time is, in fact, a straight line. And you're lying. So we can ignore that. So those are the three major bombshells, all of which were dropped yesterday. Kind of reminiscent of the assassination attempts, don't you think? Just abysmal failures. Just shot after shot, missing its mark. Just pathetic. So yesterday, all of this happened yesterday. So yesterday, they come out saying that Trump groped her in some sort of magical pocket dimension outside of time and space. They claim that Trump praised Hitler because he doesn't understand racism bad, and that he insulted Mexico because a Marine died. I mean, who knows? So they drop these three bombs. Then she does her little speech in front of the podium. Hilarious. Total hilarious failure. Then she does a town hall and an NBC interview, both of which go absolutely terrible for her. So I think it's over. And even those in the media who are diehard Kamala supporters trying to give her layups, trying to give her just fastballs over the plate for her to knock out of the park, and just they don't understand how bad she is. They're like operating with the understanding that these questions are obvious. They are easily predictable. She should have prepared answers for them. But she doesn't, and it's kind of baffling how bad she is at this. They ask the same questions over and over, and every time it's like it's the first time she's been asked, and she has no idea how to respond. It's wild. It truly is wild. Let's watch some of these clips from her just abysmal day yesterday. Clip number two is Kamala accidentally being totally destroyed by Anderson Cooper.
Under Donald Trump, you criticized the wall more than 50 times. You called it stupid, useless, and a medieval vanity project. Is a border wall stupid?
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump and that border wall. So remember, Donald Trump said Mexico would pay for it? Come on. They didn't. How much of that
Nobody's
wall
laughing.
Did he build? I think the last number I saw is about 2%. And then when it came time for him to do a photo op, you know where he did it? In the part of the wall that President Obama built.
But you're agreeing to a bill that would earmark $650 million to continue building that wall.
I pledge that I am going to bring forward that bipartisan bill to further strengthen and secure our border. Yes, I am. But, and I'm going to work across the aisle to pass a comprehensive bill that deals with a broken immigration system. I think Jackson's question, part of it was to acknowledge that America has always had migration, but there needs to be a legal process for it. People have to earn it. And that's the point that I think is the most important point that can be made, which is we need a president who is grounded in common sense and practical outcomes. Like, let's just fix this thing. Let's just fix it. Why is there any ideological perspective on this? Let's just fix the problem.
To fix the problem, you're doing this compromise bill. It does call for $650 million that was earmarked under Trump to actually still go to build the wall.
I'm not afraid of good ideas where they occur.
You don't think it's stupid anymore?
I think what he did and how he did it did not make much sense because he actually didn't do much of anything. I just talked about that wall, right? We just talked about it. He didn't actually do much of anything.
But you do want to build some wall.
I want to strengthen our border.
Yeah. Yeah. What? I guess the answer to that. So what the hell are you talking about? So Why didn't,
how many times did the Democrats sue to prevent the border wall from being built?
How many times did Kamala Harris herself step up to give some heartfelt speech about how racist the wall was? I mean, is anybody falling for this? Like, this is the thing. Do I even need to comment on this? Like, can you think for yourself? She calls them all stupid. She says it's nonsense. And then she's like, but, you know, it's a good idea and it works. And I want to strengthen the border. As the borders are, having let in 30 million people over the last 3 years. Now, I just want to fix it. I just want to fix the problem I caused, okay? It's just, it's pathetic, and it's just evidence that their ideas are wrong and bad. Like, how many ideas of the Democrats have they themselves completely disavowed? We gotta bring the clip in, because I just want to play it every day, of Van Jones saying, in 2020, we were all insane. Because how many of their policies were just abysmally bad on the face of it? They called you hateful, bigot, racist, Trump-supporting, cultist, fascist, retard if you supported these ideas, or like if you opposed them, if you were for the wall or against defund the police or the COVID lockdowns or any of these other things that they would lambast and insult and mock and ridicule and censor you over, only to now have completely flipped around and act like that is a virtue. They're acting like that's a virtue of theirs. Well, I'm always open to good ideas. I'm open to bipartisanship. It's like, no, apologize. No, you need to apologize to us and admit that you were wrong. You need to humble yourself before us, your betters, the more intelligent people who were right. You need to ask for forgiveness. Say, I'm so sorry. What else do you know that I don't know? Because you were right about defund the police. You were right about the COVID lockdowns. You were right about building the wall. You were right about the migrant crimes. You were right about this being a crisis. And we made everything worse. You need to admit that everything you've done has made everything worse. And that the reason you're changing your policies now is because the policies you held before were bad policies. But they won't do that. So they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. Let's go down to clip number four. Here's Kamala Harris demonstrating she is incapable of answering even the simplest question from the most sympathetic questioner. Let's watch.
Some voters, though, might ask, you've been in the White House for 4 years. You were vice president, not the president. But why wasn't any of that done for the last 4 years?
Well, there was a lot that was done, but there's more to do, Anderson. And I'm pointing out things that need to be done that haven't been done, but need to be done.
Why didn't you do them? I mean, it's just exhausting. This is just exhausting. Clip number five. Remember last week, completely spontaneously and without forethought, somebody shouted out Jesus is King or Jesus is Lord at her rally. And her knee-jerk reflexive reaction was to say, you're at the wrong rally. And she didn't go to the Al Smith dinner because she didn't want to be seen as cozying up to Catholics. They are anti-Christ. They're anti-Christian. This group running for office right now. Here she is being asked about this. Clip number five.
But I just called him. I needed that spiritual kind of connection. I needed that advice. I needed a prayer. And there's a part of the scripture that talks about Esther and a time such as this. And that's what we talked about. And it was very comforting for me. And
do you pray every day?
I do pray every day. I do pray every day, sometimes twice a day.
To Satan.
I grew up.
Hold on. So we roll it back about 10 seconds. Let's roll it back about 10 seconds. I want you to pause it as soon as she says sometimes twice. All right? So let's listen here.
And that's what we talked about. And it was very comforting for me. And
Do you pray every day?
I do pray every day. I do pray every day, sometimes twice a day.
Pause it. That's the vengeful liar. Ooh, am I going to go to hell for lying about praying? That's what's going through her mind right now. Sometimes twice a day. Yeah, I know. I totally pray. Her face sucks. Her face sucks. Her voice sucks. She sucks.
Having a seance doesn't count as praying.
Yeah. Praying for the death of your opponent, not very Christian. She's asked about it. And like, you know, Trump doesn't really put on airs about this. You know, he's sort of just casual about it. He's just like, you know, my faith in God has gotten a lot stronger since July 13th. That was really, you know, impactful for me. On the campaign trail, they'll be like, what's your favorite Bible verse? And he's like, you know, I heard a good one about this once. He doesn't put on airs. She's sitting there going, you know, there's this really meaningful story about Esther, you know, and that was so comforting. And it's like, but what was the story? What are you talking about? What was the story, though? She's like, no, but I remember the name Esther. No, I'll drop the name Esther, and that'll make it sound like this was really meaningful and impactful for me. And I pray every day, sometimes twice. Let's go to clip 10 here. She's dumb. She's an idiot. Let's watch.
Regarding the rapid increase in the migrant population, how will you ensure that every immigrant is integrated into American society safely? What benefits and subsidies will you provide them with? And how long will these benefits and subsidies last for an individual? Most importantly, will the American citizens' taxes pay for these benefits and subsidies? And if so, how much money will be allocated?
Well, thank you, Jackson. Let's start with this. America's immigration system is broken, and it needs to be fixed. And it's been broken for a long time. And part of what we need to do is always
prioritize what we need to do
to strengthen our border. I will tell you, I'm the only person in this race among the two choices that voters have. I've personally prosecuted transnational criminal organizations in the trafficking of guns, drugs, and
human
beings.
Him off the screen.
I have spent a significant part of my career
staring her in the eyes. You are not answering my question, lady.
Making sure that our border is secure and that we do not allow criminals in and we don't allow that kind of trafficking to happen and come into our country. And as my opponent has proven himself, he would prefer to run on the problem instead of fix the problem.
Okay, the question was, how long are the illegal immigrants going to be on subsidies and how much is it costing the American people? She didn't even remotely answer that question. Based on that interchange alone, I legitimately would vote for Jackson. That kid has my vote. You can just tell. Like, can't you just see it? Like, who would you rather? Seriously, pull up the image, just the split screen of them two. Who do you think would make a better president of the United States based on this image? The woman flailing, withering under the very simple question about, you know, subsidies, or the young man just staring at her, psychically dominating her as she, you know, giggles, and my opponent would rather run on the problem than fix it. And he's just like, I asked about subsidies. How much are they costing? How much is it going to cost us? What's his name? Jackson something, J-A-X-O-N. Jackson for president. I'm voting Jackson this year. He legitimately would make, I mean, this is the thing. I'm not even kidding. You could probably take your average Republican college student and they would be a better president than Kamala Harris. Take your average Republican college dude, frat guy, and go, you are now president of the United States. Make good decisions. They would do a better job than Kamala Harris. I guarantee you. I'm voting Jackson on this. That's just how bad Kamala is, by the way. It's just how bad. She does a town hall and the people asking her questions give off an aura of leadership and control that overwhelms the presidential candidate.
Prayer twice a day. Should I say that? It's such a lie.
Let's go down to clip number 12. This was posted on Twitter with a very appropriate caption. Pundits universally agree. Kamala Harris lost the debate with herself last night. She doesn't know what the hell she's saying, but boy, is she saying it. Let's go to clip number 12.
And as someone who hasn't fully committed to either party, how do you plan to address the concerns of independent voters and anti-Trump Republicans like myself who feel left out of the polarized political landscape? And what specific actions would you take to bridge the political divide and create more unity?
That's a wonderful question. I pledge to you to be a president for all Americans.
Now, let's just pause it right here real quick. Earlier in this day, a few hours before this question was asked, she, as in her official capacity as vice president, came out to call Donald Trump Hitler, insinuating all of his followers are voting for a Nazi in a thinly veiled call to violence. For any heroes out there in the Democratic Party that want to stop Hitler, you've always dreamed of going back in time and stopping Hitler. Well, now's your chance. But now she's going to tell us how she's going to bring everybody together and be a unifier, because truth and words mean nothing to these people. Everything's arbitrary. Everything is changeable one hour to the next. So let's go back to the lady who just called us all Nazis and said Trump is Hitler, to learn how she's going to unify the country and be a president for all. Let's watch.
President for all Americans. And I think, to the point of, in the spirit of your question, that people are frankly exhausted with what has been happening over the last several years, which is this environment that is suggesting that Americans should be pointing fingers at one another, that we are divided as a nation, instead of what I think you and I will speak for us, I think, who believe and know the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us. And I think that the American
All right, whatever. I can't even listen to this anymore. Let's take that down. It just means nothing. Nothing she says means anything. Let's go down to clip 16. It's Kamala Harris explaining that actually her inability to answer even the most elementary questions is actually a strength of hers. It's what makes her such a good candidate. Let's watch.
So I may not be quick to have the answer as soon as you ask it about a specific policy issue sometimes, because I'm going to want to research it. I'm going to want to study it. I'm kind of a nerd sometimes, I confess.
The best part of town halls is the audience is mic'd. And so you really get to hear the silence when Kamala Harris is cackling alone, expecting everybody else to laugh along with her. Trump, he said he'd get Mexico to pay for it, but he didn't get him to pay for it, did he? But I will. It's a dumb policy, but I will do it because I'm a unified. It's just like, it's sad. It really is sad. And it really makes her cackle that much more cringeworthy when you know there's a room full of people just staring back at her silently. Oh, you're laughing again, are you? Not actually that funny, Kamala. We're trying to, run a country here. Let's go to clip number 27. If Kamala Harris was applying for a McDonald's job, she probably wouldn't get it based off this interview. Let's watch.
Is there something you can point to in your life, political life or in your life in the last 4 years, that you think is a mistake that you have learned from?
I mean, I've made many mistakes.
This town hall was one of them.
They range from,
doing town halls.
If you've ever parented a child, you know you make lots of mistakes.
You're not a parent. You don't have children.
In my role as vice president, I mean, I've probably worked very hard at making sure that I am well versed on issues, and I think that is very important. It's a mistake not to be well versed on an issue and feel compelled to answer a question.
See, the fact that she can't answer questions is a positive. See, because she don't want to just answer a question that she doesn't know the answer to, like that one. Do you have anything you regret? Do you have anything you've learned? And she's like, as vice president, I was very, I studied the issues. Can we just, is there a college kid out there? Is there some random dude out there? Is there some random kid that's like, wants to be president of the United States? Because it would be better than Kamala Harris. At least they'd be honest.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate CMOS exclusively discounted at the alexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at the alexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
Now, the one thing I want you to do, if I could ask you to do anything for America and Alex and this network and this crew, the one thing I would ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club. It's $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy a $35 shirt, you might as well sign up for the VIP Club so that you can get that extra $10 and just get the shirt that you want. That is going to ensure that we can fund this operation, fund the next operation, ensure that Alex always has a voice. They can try to steal his identity. They can try to steal his business. They can try to steal America. They can try to sacrifice humanity in nuclear genocide. But if you go to thealexjonesstore.com and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club, they'll never take away our voice. They'll never take away our freedom. They'll never take away free speech, and we can save America together. Please go now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, when I say I'm excited about bringing you the ultimate gut cleanse, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com, I'm not joking around. We don't sit there and shoot in the dark. We go out and we find what are already the best-selling, highest-rated products in the country, and we say, hey, we'd like to private label it, but we'd like you to make it a little bit stronger for us, so it's proprietary. You got it right here. The ultimate gut cleanse. This is not just a gut cleanse. It's not just a detox. It doesn't just have natural ingredients that gently get rid of parasites. Oh, it's got that covered. It's then got a whole bunch of stuff in it like saw palmetto that's good for all your glands. And even the government admits great for men's prostates. And it goes on and on. I cannot read all the ingredients. They're concentrated. They're incredible. You want to get it right now at thealexjonesstore.com for between 30 and 50% off. 50% off if you do the combo and get it with the ultimate probiotic. I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps. Spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up. But I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
You came down to this southern town last summer.
All right, folks, we've just reviewed folks, a brand new way the three abysmal failures of the attempted October surprises from the Democrats. That wasn't the only embarrassing failure of the day yesterday with Kamala. She also held the town hall, which was a very bad idea, even though we know these town halls aren't really town halls. They're pre-approved questions that she's supposed to have the answer to, but still flails around like an idiot. We've got it doesn't end there. We have the NBC interview where, again, she flailed hopelessly. And we'll sort of move on from this, but it's shocking that she has any support at all. It really is kind of a damning indictment of America that anybody is falling for whatever this is. Crazy. Crazy we're even in this situation. And let's just, can we just end it? I know we're only 11 days away, but get out there and vote. Sign up to be a poll watcher. I'm not about to have to listen to Kamala Harris for 4 years, okay? Don't do this to us. Don't let them do this to us. We cannot listen to this woman for 4 years. Good Lord. So we'll go to one more. We'll go to one more clip. We'll go to one more clip of just one of her just horrible appearances yesterday, clip number 20. And we'll move on to some other elements of the machine going after Trump and just how little you can trust them. I'm going to open up your phone, the phone lines for your calls this hour as well. Into the second hour, we'll take your calls on any topic you want to call in about, but particular the election and what we can do 11 days out to ensure it's not stolen. But for now, let's go to clip number 20. Here is her being asked if she was honest with the American people when everybody knows she wasn't. How does she answer? Horribly. Let's watch.
Now, I know that Joe Biden is not on the ballot. I understand that. But the reason that you are at the top of the ticket is because he dropped out of this race. And it was largely because of that debate performance back in June. You defended him in the days before and in the days after as you were campaigning for another 4 years for President Biden. Can you say that you were honest with the American people about what you saw in those moments with President Biden as you were with him again and again, repeatedly in that time?
Of course. Joe Biden is an extremely accomplished, experienced and capable in every way that anyone would want if they're president. It was a bad debate. People have bad debates. He is absolutely.
But that's the reason why you're here, and he's not running for the top of the ticket.
Well, you'd have to ask him if that's the only reason why.
What do you think?
I am running for president of the United States. Joe Biden is not. And my presidency will be about bringing a new generation of leadership to America that is focused on the work that we need to do to invest in the ambitions and aspirations of the American people.
Seriously, how is she so bad at this? How is she so bad at this? How did she get to the top of the ticket? But, you know, it's like this has to happen. When your entire career is built on lies, you're going to be confronted with those lies. When the lies themselves are just obviously fraudulent, you're going to get called on them. Sorry, you know, sorry that we heard you lie. You know, how are you so bad at this? How is anybody falling for it? Ugh, it's just sick. It's just sick. We have to even pay attention to this stuff. But again, it's, you know, it's not her. She is just an outgrowth. She is just a pimple on the nose of the machine that she's operating on behalf of. And this machine is incredibly deep. It's incredibly sordid and rotten. And all of the slime monsters are coming out of the bog to not make an argument for Kamala, but to lie about Trump in an attempt to shame or intimidate you out of voting for him. And it's one of those just self-fulfilling things where if they had just, if these people had just been human beings, if they had just been normal, like even now, if Kamala Harris just dropped the act and just acted like a normal person, none of this would be an issue. If the deep state had not spent the last 10 years destroying their own credibility, making the same or novel ridiculous claims, each more fake than the last, maybe you would have a shred of credibility to lean on now that you need it. But you've wasted all of our time. You wasted all of the energy. You have nothing. No argument to make anymore. Nobody believes you anymore. It's all your fault, deep state. It's all 100% your responsibility. Why nobody likes you, nobody trusts you, nobody's listening to you. And it is actually dangerous because if we actually had a president that actually was authoritarian, well, the people that we would expect to defend us from that instead have spoiled all of their credibility and all of their legitimacy going after Donald Trump, who was just a normal patriot dude. So, like, they're actually systematically and fully, in a holistic fashion, gutting our entire system, destroying any defenses that we would actually need to actually defend against a totalitarian, an authoritarian, somebody who wanted to abuse their power. Nobody is going to believe you ever anymore. That's all your fault. So here's John Brennan, of all people, and he's angry at you for not believing that Donald Trump is a fascist, whatever the hell he means by that. He's just, I guess they've moved on from racist. That stopped working. They've moved on from whatever else. It's just nothing works anymore. So they're just going to the ultimate extreme. They're calling him a literal fascist Nazi sympathizer, as if they hadn't been doing that for 4 years already. But that's all they have left, calling Trump a fascist, like they keep doing, despite a total lack of evidence whatsoever. I mean, this is just, again, it's just exhausting. They just say these things. These are people in power, and they're acting on these beliefs, so we have to pay attention. Let's go now to former CIA director, Russia conspirator, and Hunter laptop hoaxer, John Brennan.
This is not surprising at all. We have seen this continuous pattern over the course of many years of Donald Trump endorsing individuals such as a Hitler, disparaging the U.S. military, advocating for fascism, which is what John Kelly said, that he is fascist. And just like Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who said that Donald Trump is fascist to the core, it just demonstrates that Donald Trump is not interested in promoting our democratic system and our values as Americans. And so therefore, I find it absurd and appalling that so many Americans are willing to just dismiss these comments. And the undecided voters that are still out there, I think they really need to take this into account when you have individuals such as John Kelly and Mark Milley saying this about Donald Trump. Is this the country that you want your children and grandchildren to grow up in? I certainly hope not.
John Brennan should be in jail. He should have been in jail 5 years ago for playing a key role in the Russiagate collusion hoax that crippled this country and divided our populace for the entire genome for the last 10 years, knowingly providing false material. He signed the Hunter Biden laptop letter, again interfering in political elections. When is enough enough? Right? How many times are they going to come out with the same lie, the same unsourced, unverified gossip, where you've got some political operative, disgraced, deep state criminal who just suddenly remembers that 4 years ago, actually, Trump told me he loves Hitler. Which is like, even the claims, let's just take it all for face value and actually look at what they say. What they say is that Trump, I guess, mentioned Hitler did some good things. Like, in what context? What was the conversation? What the hell are you talking about? And that makes him a fascist? Just what? How are these people in charge? How are these people so untouchable? This is what I don't get. Just search John Brennan's name at InfoWars. Search it at Gateway Pundit. Just let's take a little trip over just the last like 4 years of John Brennan himself being an actual, honest to God, legitimate fascist. Actually using the organs of the state, deep state, in cooperation with corporations in classic fascist style to shut down dissidents, arrest them, imprison their political opponents, lie with impunity with a cooperative media who repeats what you say despite knowing it's false. I mean, you want to talk about it, it doesn't even matter at this point because fascism just doesn't mean anything to these people. It's just whatever they say it is. To anybody that doesn't want their children being a despised minority in their own country to be molested by some, you know, cross-dressing pervert at drag queen story time hour. Like, that's what fascism is to these people. So it doesn't actually even mean anything. But if you want to get to the actual definition of a lack of free speech, of cooperation between the corporate and governmental bodies to eliminate dissidents, I mean, this is fascism. If you're actually concerned about that, they're obviously not. Obama CIA chief John Brennan under fire for the creation of bogus January 2017 intel report claiming Russia wanted Trump to win 2016 election. Former CIA director John Brennan says intel community will withhold key information from Trump security briefings this summer. Yeah, so there he is organizing, orchestrating behind the scenes to lessen our security by withholding information, key information from Donald Trump, the next potential president of the United States, because of his own personal animus. He doesn't like Trump, so they're going to use the intelligence apparatus to go after him in whichever way they can, whether that's framing him as Russia collusion, whether that's, you know, providing false information to the media to create scandals out of thin air, to simply distract and divert his energy so he can't get his actual job done, whether that's withholding information from Donald Trump so he's not as prepared or informed as he should be as leader of the United States, whether that's communicating with China outside of the official channels to undercut Donald Trump's agenda, whether it's working with Nancy Pelosi to usurp the power of the president unto themselves. These people are a threat to our continuing existence as a republic, and they have to be dealt with harshly. That's what they're scared of. That's why they're calling him a fascist. That's why they're freaking out. That's why they're making all these lies. That's why they've destroyed their credibility over the last several years, because they're absolute diabolical criminals that are terrified that an actual American populace might get into power and might hold them to account and might dole out to them the punishment for which they are well and truly deserving. So they'll withhold intel from Donald Trump, making you less safe, making his job more difficult, making the ultimate responsibility of the president as the safety of the nation, national security, they're going to hamper that, because otherwise, you know, Donald Trump might take away their toys. He might actually hold them to account for the innumerable lies they've told. But we're just getting started here. He was withholding intel information. He was a key player in the Russia collusion hoax. He also was behind the 12 secret spy bases in Ukraine, which were waging the shadow war against Russia since 2014. John Brennan directly in the middle of that, as he is responsible for the Ukrainian war, now driving us headlong towards nuclear conflict with Russia. George Papadopoulos revisits the intel operation targeting him for being a Trump advisor, all at the behest of Barack Obama and John Brennan. Durham report revealed that it was a plan by Hillary Clinton to link Trump to Russia, and was briefed by John Brennan on this to Obama and Biden in August 2016. So he knew from the very beginning that the Russia collusion hoax was just that, and yet was a key player behind the Operation Crossfire Hurricane investigation into Trump, trying to destroy his presidency before it even started and then hampering it throughout his administration, because these people are traitorous demons, and we have to treat them as such. Bombshell email show ex-acting CIA director Mike Morrell pleading with John Brennan to sign spies who lie letter to give Biden a talking point to push back on Trump during the debate. So again, using their position, their authority, the trust that they've been endowed with as their position as heads of national security organizations to lie blatantly, to give talking points to Trump's opponent, because they're interested in manipulating and directing the will of the American people rather than reflecting or responding to it at all. We're not done. Breaking: top intel chiefs forced to testify over Hunter Biden laptop lie. John Brennan and James Clapper had to appear before the House committee, having been a part of that blatant scam, blatant deception, blatant manipulation of the American electorate by our deep state operatives. Former CIA chief and liar John Brennan attacks Elon Musk after he threatens to release Fauci files on deep state Democrat social media collusion, because, of course, he had a finger in that, too. This is the thing. People are like, when you say the deep state, who do you? It's like, well, John Brennan for one, James Clapper for another, James Comey for a third. I mean, these people have names. We know what they do. Their lies are continually exposed, and yet they just keep going. It is the most frustrating part about doing a show like this. I've described it before, but it just always comes to my mind that it's like we're a news show covering true crime, And we just keep reporting on the same serial killer over and over and over again. And we're just like, there he is. His name's John Brennan. He keeps killing people. He keeps bragging about it. And they just won't arrest him. And he just keeps going out and killing people. It's like we're just reporting on the same crime over and over again. Say, we know who the criminal is. We know the crime they committed. There's no, we aren't looking for evidence. There's no mystery to this. It's just, it's him. It's John Brennan. He's lied repeatedly. He's undercut the presidency. He has acted in a way that is beyond treasonous. And there he is on MSNBC just doing it again. When is enough going to be enough? Can Russia save us? Like, what are our options here? Because our enemy is not in Russia. Our enemy is not in China, even. None of them would be difficult to confront, deal with, and defeat with the power, the strength, the unbelievable, still to this day, unrivaled power of the United States. But unfortunately, we have all these little disgusting, fascistic, dishonest worms running our most powerful institutions and being treated with kid gloves like they're heroes and archons of truth by our mainstream media. How many times do they have to lie? How many times do they have to interfere? How many times are we going to let them get away with it? Honestly. John Brennan gives plan away. Biden officials moving in, quote, laser light fashion to identify and root out political opposition from population. I'm sure you remember that video as we played it over and over. And that's the guy that's telling you to be scared of fascism. Okay, so let's just think about this for a second. The guy who did the Russia hoax, key part of it. The guy who is probably behind Trump's first impeachment, since John Brennan was one of the main people creating the 12 CIA spy bases in Ukraine to fabricate a war and a conflict with Russia there. The guy who signed the Hunter Biden laptop lie, knowing it was a lie, doing it deliberately and in their own words explicitly, not because it's true, not because it was actual Russian disinformation, but because they wanted to give a talking point during the debates to Trump's opponents. This guy is very mad at you for not trusting him. He thinks it's absurd and appalling that you aren't listening and hanging on his every word and trusting it like it comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ. He's very offended and outraged that you would dare to question this congenital hoaxer. And he's calling Trump a fascist, while at the same time, and to quote him again, bragging and encouraging Biden officials to move in laser light fashion to identify and root out political opposition from the population. He's so concerned about fascism, he wants the ruling regime to root out and destroy all political opposition from the citizenry of the United States. It's just how dangerous fascism is, I'm sure. Insane. Legitimately, definitionally, completely insane. Let's go now, and we'll just play this whole thing. This will be a breath of fresh air here. It's Donald Trump, clip number 19, just laying out the argument for just how bad Kamala is. And here, 11 days out, it's so important that if there is anybody even remotely on the fence, and you know what, you know, maybe I'll retract what I said earlier, because I was saying earlier that, like, I think the campaign is over, people are decided, and now it's about being a poll watcher and getting involved and stopping the steal from happening, and that is certainly true. But you know what, there probably are a couple million people out there that have not been paying attention, and now that they see, oh gee, the election's in a week, I better brush up. Maybe I will look into it. Maybe there are people out there that have not figured it out yet, and it's our responsibility to introduce them to reality. Let's go to clip number 19 now.
So we are running against the most radical, most incompetent, most unfit vice president in the history of our country. No one respects her. No one trusts her. No one takes her seriously. This is a woman who took yesterday off. How do you take yesterday off? You got 13 days. You're running for the presidency. She takes her time off. I've gone 52 days in a row, and I'm not taking any days off, that I can tell you. No, but she's, think of that. She's taking days off at levels not seen. I hear she's taking another one tomorrow or something. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Maybe she knows something we don't know. That's bad, right? Maybe she knows something we don't know. Does everybody understand that? Maybe, maybe. She takes a day to study for a simple interview with an MSDNC reporter, but then makes a fool of herself with answers that are so crazy, so crazy. And we'll never forget 60 Minutes. We're never going to forget it. We can't. I think I'm going to sue them, actually, because there's no way they can answer it. There's no way they could say, no, no, we don't like the answer she gave, and they immediately replace it with something. There's no way they can answer that. But we are not running against Kamala. She means nothing. She is purely a vessel. She can't put two sentences together. She can't do it. Just like we were not running against Crooked Joe Biden, who, by the way, said yesterday about me, quote, "We got to lock him up." I told you. He said, then he denied it. I didn't mean that. Because he's not legally allowed to say. He doesn't lie. He can't say that. But I've been telling you that. It's election interference. This is all it is. He said, "We got to lock him up." This is illegal and should cause cases. I mean, look, think of it. I've been under investigation more than the legendary Alphonse Capone, Scarface. And my parents are looking down, and my father was tough. And my mother was great. She was so sweet. And I said yesterday, I know she's in heaven. I'm not 100% sure of my father, but he was a good man. He's a tough guy and a good guy. He had a big heart, too. And he was smart. He was smart. But they're looking down on me now and they're saying, how the hell could my son be worse than Alphonse Capone? How could he be? No, but these are crooked people. This is all election interference. And you know the amazing thing? It made me much more popular. It's crazy, right? Because the people got it. Crazy. But as I've said, these lawsuits are being run by the Department of Justice, the FBI, Biden is behind it all, believe it or not. And he proved that yesterday with his stupid statement. And people are outraged by it. And we're running against something far bigger, far more powerful than them.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about the machine that Trump is running up against and that is trying to destroy InfoWars. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight no matter what happens next to thealexjonesstore.com.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Heart defects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free, 888-253-3139.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. Number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. We'll take your calls throughout the last hour of the show. And I was going to play some audio here, and maybe the crew can help me out, because I cannot find confirmation or debunking about this video. I don't want to play it and it turn out to be fake, but I haven't seen anything saying it's fake. It supposedly is a phone call leaked from P. Diddy in prison. It's very interesting. But searching for this, I can't find any stories about it. I found a lot of videos of it, a lot of people posting it. I don't see a lot of, you know, debunking of it. I don't know. I don't know if it's real or not. And with that caveat, let's act like it's real. Let's pretend it's real. Let's assume it is real, because I haven't seen anybody saying it's not. It's a call from P. Diddy in prison, very obviously using code words. All right, Sean Diddy Combs video clip, not a prison message. September 30th, 2024. Is this the same one where he's talking about pizza? Video clip from 2010 of music mogul describing feeling overwhelmed by television images of a earthquake. And yeah, I think this is a different one. See, there have been other videos. The one I'm talking about particularly is one where he's talking about pizza. So I don't know. Maybe if the crew can find if this is fake, but here's squawk.com. Shocking alleged leak call from jail. P. Diddy instructs son to, quote, get rid of all pizza boxes, sparking Pizzagate accusations. Leaked audio allegedly reveals Sean P. Diddy Combs urging his son to dispose of pizza boxes and recycle the plastic, fueling wild speculation online. So I'll show you the video. You can judge for yourself whether it's real or not. But here is supposedly a leaked video of P. Diddy from prison, issuing instructions to his son in coded language. Let's watch.
Do not entertain none of this nonsense.
Nothing over the phone.
I need you to get rid of all the leftover pizza boxes.
The what?
All the boxes left over from the pizza. All the boxes.
Okay.
Make sure you recycle the plastic like we talked about.
Yeah.
Did Jay reach out yet?
Nah, Bob. He ghosting.
What this motherfucker doing? These things tweeting now because I'm in here.
It's all good. You about to get out on bail.
No. Hey, yo, check this out. Need you to reach out to the producer. Let these motherfuckers know there's a release date for that new Netflix movie.
All right, Bob. It's fucking crazy right now.
Everybody out there quiet as motherfucker.
Sounds kind of real. This has got to be AI. No way he's that dumb. Internet reacts as Diddy's alleged prison phone call on pizza boxes goes viral on TikTok. I mean, yeah, that sort of is the most suspicious thing about it to me, is it's so blatant. I mean, it's like the scene from The Sopranos where Johnny Sack is trying to do things from prison, and his brother-in-law is like not good at doing the code words. He's like, you know, we need to get 2 pounds of flour to Tony Soprano because of the thing with the cakes that we're making. Guy's like, cakes? What the hell are you talking? He's like, I'm talking about the drugs. I'm talking about the drugs we're moving. It's like, make sure to recycle all of the pizza boxes. Do you get what I'm saying? When I say pizza boxes, do you understand what I mean? The boxes for the pizza? Get rid of them. It's like, okay. But I guess it works. I guess that's why they use codes. What's he talking about? Maybe dead children. We don't know. We just don't know. But something weird.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm Dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, and he had that dark MAGA hat on, I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexshowstore.com. But I personally like this one, murdered out, it fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like murdered out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and T-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexshowstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again murdered out, and we've got the Save the Frogs over 50 designs, all at thealexshowstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexshowstore.com and get your Patriot gear.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. Third hour of American Journal is on. Take your calls at this hour. There's some other stuff that is, there are rumors floating about. There are whisperings on the wind. I don't know how much. Typically, as just a rule of thumb, I don't cover things that haven't happened yet. Like so many times online, and it's a clickbait thing, but it's always like, oh, this is about to happen. This is where we're all going to. This is about to drop. This is about to break. This person's about to be arrested. And it's like, just as a rule of thumb, until it happens, don't talk to me about it. Till you drop the information, don't tease me with information. I don't care. But it feels a little bit different this time. But I'm making a bit of a caveat this time because people are putting their faces behind it, and they seem to be suggesting that something major is coming, and it's being announced from different angles. So, for one, George Santos, former congressman, put out this video. Let's watch it. Just again, I don't even really like doing this, but it's not just Santos saying this. Maybe this is nothing, or maybe it's something. You should hear it either way. Clip 26.
Oh, hey guys, gotta tell you something. It's so crazy. I just got off the phone with the source, and they're telling me that tomorrow the Kamala Harris ship sinks. You're going to see all the rats jumping off. The story that's going to break tomorrow is so damning and so, so bad that Democrats are going to distance themselves from her like something you've never seen before. And essentially, you might even see some asking for people to vote for Trump. This is wild. Stay tuned as this drops tomorrow.
Again, not the type of thing I would typically bring to the show. So people can say whatever they want. You know, I could come out tomorrow and, oh, there's a big story coming and it's going to destroy the Kamala campaign. Like, show it if you got it. Show your cards. If not, don't tease us. Don't tempt us. But there's other people saying this. Shaney Rich, friend of the show. I have alleged information that will end Kamala Harris's campaign. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. You'll see something very, very soon. Now, I agree with Mike Adams, Health Ranger's response to this. Starting to hear a lot of buzz like this tonight, but then again, Andrew Breitbart pre-bragged about having videotapes of Obama that would end his political career, and they murdered Breitbart before he could get the tapes out. It's always a bad idea to brag that you have something that could get you killed. Guess we'll have to see where this goes. Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. And here's a little tip. Here's what I operate on. If you have information that somebody will kill you to keep silent, just say it. Then they have no reason to kill you. It's not that complicated. If you have a secret, if you have a tape that could end somebody's career, somebody with power, somebody who will have you killed, rather than let that tape be released, release the tape immediately. Then they're not going to kill you. It's very simple. It's just anybody, pharmaceutical whistleblowers, political operatives. You don't shop it around. You don't brag about it. You don't try to use it as leverage. You just release it. You just put it out there. Then not only do they not have a reason to kill you, because the whole point of killing you is to stop the information from getting out. Well, as soon as it's out, killing you wouldn't serve any purpose. And they won't kill you because then it will be obvious who killed you, because you just put out damning information, then they kill you. I mean, that's not a smart move to make. So we'll see what comes. That was yesterday. So today is the day that this story should be dropping. We'll see if it even exists. But a little piece of advice from me. If you have information that they'll kill you over, release it without hesitation. We have so many other great videos to get to, but let's go out to your phone calls for now and crazy stories to get to, too, including ones that really they illustrate something metaphysical, something innately broken in the mindset of leftists and liberals and communists and socialists and progressives, who are all the same people, by the way. And we'll get to that in just a second, but your phone calls first. Miss Lou in Florida, thanks so much for calling in. Miss Lou, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, I got a couple things real quick. One, Linda Jankowicz, I believe that's her name. She's a voter integrity gal. Was on Bannon's War Room this morning, and she was giving some stats that are interesting. I bet you might like to hear them real quick. It's on the overseas voters. The Democrats are trying to register 9 million people overseas. The universe is only 4.4 million. And eligible, 2.8 million. So that's going to get interesting.
So they're trying to register 9 million people overseas to vote in America?
They're trying to register 9 million. Yep. And she doesn't put out wrong stats. She's really, you know, big in the voter integrity. I had her spelling of her name wrong, so you guys can check her out. Linda Jankowicz, I believe. But she's on War Room this morning.
Interesting.
With Dave Brad. And here's the other thing. I want to remind the fired Mark Kelly, when he's going to talk about Hitler, okay? First of all, Hitler created a car manufacturer that ended up being the most beloved brand in the world, and that would be Volkswagen. So maybe that's the one good thing he did. I'm not praising Hitler. I'm just saying, be very careful about things that Trump said that he might have not said. But right. There's a fact. Volkswagen came from Hitler. And the other thing is, if you guys pull up the picture, okay, the photo from Freedom Hall, I believe it was 2022, when Biden addressed the nation with his flaying fists and the Marines in red in the background.
Yep.
Babylon Bee did a photo of it with a mustache that they added that's pretty funny.
Right.
But that's Hitler. From day one, he destroyed American energy, cut the XL pipeline, opened up the border for invasion, overspent everything. The list goes on and on about his 50 million executive orders that should have been congressionally approved. So at the end of the day, let's talk about who Hitler really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, yeah, your point about Volkswagen or the Autobahn or the Olympic ceremonies that we got, like these are all Hitler's ideas. And you know, until he launched the war and until, you know, the Holocaust got going, you know, in terms of economic rebuilding of Germany, it was damn near miraculous what he was able to pull off. And it's funny.
And that's what Trump meant.
I doubt Trump even ever said this. Or like, I seriously doubt Trump ever even, you know, said anything remotely close to this. But it's this weird, like, pseudo faux sophistication intellectualism where, and you can hear it in the audio clip where we played, where it's John Kelly going, I had to explain to Trump that even if Hitler did do good things, they were all in service of his racist ideology. And it's like they think they're like enlightened and sophisticated because they can see that, you know, even, you know, these good things he did, they were all really just in service of of racism, which means it's bad. And it's like, no, that is, you're like a child. You're like a little baby. You're like, you want your historical figures to be Darth Vader or some bad guy from a children's book. And that's not sophisticated. That's the opposite of sophisticated. It's not intellectual. It's the opposite of intellectual. It's also not American or Christian. And I was wondering about this because you see all these through lines between these things that we talk about, whether it's Hitler or like the Confederacy, right? There were, like, for all of time after the Civil War, people in the South flew the Confederate flag. It was a prominent thing. Brands would use it. Colleges would use it. It was on state flags because everybody knew that, yeah, we were at war and yeah, they lost and yeah, we were enemies at one time, but you don't hold on to like a blood feud forever. And you honor your enemies if they're worthy fighters, if they act with integrity and honor, you honor them. And I don't know if it's just Christianity, if it's this idea of like love your enemy that they reject, or if it's just something in culture or nature that, you know, has this. But like, you don't have to portray all of your historical enemies as irredeemable, absolute evil forever, and their memory has to be wiped out. Like, that's not really how we do things in the West. You wage a war, you lay down your arms, you shake hands, and it's over. And one of you surrenders and the other one doesn't. And then you can have wars that don't kill everybody, and you don't have, you know, this is the thing about honoring Robert E. Lee. You know, to some people in this childish mindset, it's like, but Robert E. Lee was a traitor. Tear down his statue 200 years later. It's like the people that fought and died under Robert E. Lee didn't hate him as much as you do. So what's wrong with you? Right? We honor Robert E. Lee because he had the choice to be petulant, to be childish, to be stupid, and to have the combat go on forever and to never give up and never surrender and portray your enemies as an irredeemable evil that it would be a sin to surrender to. So keep fighting and keep that going on for year after year and waste millions of more lives. But he didn't, because it's the Western way. You fight, you give it your all. At the end of the day, if you lose, you lose. You admit it. You shake hands. You try to come together by the end of it. You try to resolve your conflict. You don't paint the other person as a devil for the next 200 years. But then you got people coming in to the country yesterday whose ancestors were on some different continent while the Civil War is being fought. And they're like foaming at the mouth, angry, full of hatred for somebody that like they just heard about being bad in history class. It's very weird. It's very childish. It's very anti-intellectual. It's very anti-reality. And it just sets up a world of dog-eat-dog extremism where you just, you know, these people have feuds that they hold on to going back 2,000 years. And it's like, what an unhealthy way to live. So that's how I see it with Hitler, too. People during World War II didn't hate Hitler as much as people hate him now, and there's something weird about that. Thanks for the call, Miss Lou. Let's go to Logan in Pennsylvania now. Logan, thank you so much for calling in. You are on the air.
Harrison, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Congrats on the baby. And then only other question, when are you going to get the Substack up and running again?
That's a very good question.
I'm looking forward to it when it happens.
I'll do it today. I will absolutely do it today. Thank you for reminding me about that. I took
absolutely.
Obviously, I took 2 weeks.
You had a kid.
I took 2 weeks off from doing the show, and I stopped doing the Substack during that time, and I have not restarted it yet. So I will do that. So I think Off Limits News on Substack, or Harrison H. Smith on Substack, or Harrison Hill Smith on Substack. I don't even remember what it's called at this point.
Harrison Hill Smith.
Harrison Hill Smith. Go to harrisonhillsmith.substack.com and sign up, and I will do that today. Thank you for reminding me, Logan.
Absolutely. But I wanted to bring this up because I saw this on Twitter, but I haven't seen it get a lot of coverage. But obviously, Stacey Williams, the accuser, the latest accuser of Trump, if you type in IMAGO and then her name, the first, it's a stock image site, but it's from 2008, and it's talking about her working for clean tech for Obama. And I haven't seen it pick up steam, but I did it. And when you search it, it's the credits are from 2008, and, you know, the accuser happened to work for Obama, and it just always happens to be like that. And, you know, she waited on it for 32 years until 2 weeks before the election.
Yeah, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
And then it's crazy how it happens like that. Definitely a coincidence. And then only one other thing. I had a question for you. If you were talking to Trump and his team, and there were 3 points that you wanted him to get across on the Rogan interview, what are the three that he needs to hammer home? Because we know he likes to, you know, kind of go off tangent. But what are the three things that you think he needs to convey effectively on the Rogan appearance?
That's a very good question. You know, what just pops into my mind is Alex's show yesterday, at least for the first half of Alex's show yesterday, he was basically talking directly to Trump and laying out sort of what he thinks are the most important things that need to be said. And I tend to agree with him. Drive home the 320,000 missing children, and not just mentioning that they're there, but talk about the people doing this and how justice demands that they be held to account. And that, like, just to drive home the seriousness of the situation that we find ourselves in. On the other hand, Rogan, going on Rogan is sort of a great opportunity to not focus too much on policy. Because I think, you know, obviously the way that they're attacking, the way the Democrats are attacking, it's an effort to make Trump look unhinged. They keep saying that. Make him seem fascistic. They keep saying that. So almost the best thing he could do in terms of politics right now is to counter their attacks by just being a normal dude, being funny, being, you know, showing that he's not insane, while at the same time driving home the dire situation that we find ourselves in. And that's not going to be easy, but that it's necessary for the sake of not just the continuation of our country and our republic, but for the sake of the 320,000 children that are missing, that this entire system be not just stopped, but punishment be doled out. Again, how do you say that without contributing to, you know, any slurs they want to fling your way about being a dictator? So I'd almost just, if I was giving advice to Trump about going on Joe Rogan, I don't know. I'd have to think about that maybe a little bit more, Logan. If I was him, I'll tell you what I'd say. The number one thing I would push is peace. I would push peace. I would push peace in the Middle East. And I mean, the most frustrating thing to me about Donald Trump's recent activities is his seeming willingness to go to war with Iran, his lack of concern that seems to come across about what's going on in Lebanon and Gaza. Now, he's not quite as far as some people think from some of the things he says. Some things he says are just for the campaign trail. And I don't know if y'all know this. His daughter, Tiffany, just got married to a Orthodox Lebanese Christian from North Lebanon. And he's being asked about that. And he, you know, clearly has great love of Middle Eastern people. So I would want that to come across. And he can do it in a way that doesn't drive away Israeli support or make people think he's some diehard Zionist that's going to give him the green light to, you know, nuke Damascus. He can just point out that we need a strong America to represent American interest, and American interest is in peace. And he's the peace candidate. And if you want peace in the Middle East, you got to elect Donald Trump. That's what I would push, because right now the biggest vulnerability of the Democrats is the contingent of their constituency that is either, you know, Muslim, they're Arab, they're Palestinian, they have an ethnic, you know, reason to oppose Israel, or they're progressive and they see the whole thing in terms of race and they think, you know, Israel is a white, racist, colonial, whatever. So I think he could hurt the Democrats a lot and actually get a lot of votes, just like steal votes from them. Not necessarily by saying, you know, actually I'm pro Hamas now and Israel has to go down. Like, he doesn't have to do anything like that. But point out that this war has been prosecuted under Biden and Kamala, that every month or so they send some new agent of America over to Israel to demand a ceasefire, to be completely disrespected. They spit in our face. They reject us completely. Then we give them billions of dollars, and that needs to stop. And I think by hammering home that he is the peace candidate, and that if you want peace in the Middle East and you want the war to end and you want the bombings to stop, Kamala is not even remotely capable of bringing that about. That has been proven over the last year. The Biden administration, the Kamala Harris will be a weaker carbon copy of, does not have the ability to bring about peace. So I would tell him to hammer that home, to hit the Democrats where it hurts, and to portray himself as the strength through peace candidate. I think that's one of the most important things to drive home right now, personally. And also, you know, it's a weakness on both sides. It's more of a weakness on the Democrats because they have more progressives, but there are so many people on the right who love Trump, but his Israel stance is driving them away and makes them not want to vote for him because they think he's going to go to war with Iran. So I would put that to rest because I don't think he wants war with Iran. I think he's beating his chest and sort of playing the part that he plays of don't mess with me and you know, setting the stage for further negotiations. But when you ask him about regime change, he's like, no, we're not doing regime change in Iraq, in Iran. When you ask him about, you know, some apocalyptic war in the Middle East to bring about the Messiah, he's not into that. He doesn't have any concern about that. He doesn't care about that. Which you can see, you know, the evangelicals love that, but he's not into it. So I think he needs to make that clear. And I think that would boost him with Republicans and Democrats personally. I think that would be the thing I would go for. What about you, Logan? What would you advise him?
Well, I think Rogan, just from an interviewer perspective, you know, I agree that he should not talk about policy. I think just like J.D. Vance on Theo Vaughn, yeah, he just needs to seem like a human and actually not like it's not going to be scripted like Kamala on every interview or any interaction. Right. But just look like a human and have a normal conversation. And then when Rogan asks Jamie to pull something up, obviously kind of dive into policy. But I think it's just he needs to prove that he's not this racist, which we all know he's not, but just prove that he's a normal person. Again, kind of like Theo Vaughn and J.D. Vance's interview. And then I don't know if you've seen those comments.
This guy's
weird.
Exactly. Yeah, there were a lot of comments on the Theo Vaughn, J.D. Vance interview, all saying the same thing. It's like, man, I kept hearing this guy was super weird. This is the first time I've seen him talk. He's the most normal man I've ever seen. So, yeah.
I drink a beer with him.
Exactly. So yes, I think that is the powerful part about the Rogan interview or the Theo Vaughn interview, is you're getting out in front of people who don't care about politics but listen to podcasts all the time, who like comedy, who, you know, are interested in what's going on but are still falling for the mainstream lie. This is a chance to shatter that illusion and just bring the truth to people. We're going to get to more of your calls on the other side. Thanks so much for the call, Logan. More on the other side. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com to purchase a product, a t-shirt, a hat, sign up for the VIP club, support us in whichever way that you can. You know why they're trying to take InfoWars off the air. You know that we are extremely dangerous to their plots because we expose what they're doing, we tell you what they're doing, and we try desperately to provide ways to combat their schemes in your personal life and on the political stage. Ultimate hydration in just one frickin' scoop. That's HydroForce, a brand new product at thealexjonesstore.com. Check it out now. Especially if you're a VIP member, you'll get a discount on that like you do on so many other products. And if you want to spend money at the Alex Jones Store, it really just makes sense to sign up for the VIP club. Being in the club gets you discounts, gets you early access to products. And it also gets you $40 every month to spend on products at thealexjonesstore.com. So if you're going to go there, get a fantastic product, sign up for the Alex Jones VIP Club while you're there, and know that you are a contributing member and a all-important source of power for us here at InfoWars as things get very dangerous on the run-up to and, more importantly, following the election on November 5th. Stay with us, folks.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish CMOS to give them the authorization for private labeling. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate CMOS, exclusively available at the AlexJonesStore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate CMOS exclusively discounted at the AlexJonesStore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at the AlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Now, the one thing I want you to do, if I could ask you to do anything for America and Alex and this network and this crew, the one thing I would ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club. It's $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy a $35 shirt, you might as well sign up for the VIP Club so that you can get that extra $10 and just get the shirt that you want. That is going to ensure that we can fund this operation, fund the next operation, ensure that Alex always has a voice. They can try to steal his identity. They can try to steal his business. They can try to steal America. They can try to sacrifice humanity in nuclear genocide. But if you go to thealexjonesstore.com and sign up for Alex Jones VIP Club, they'll never take away our voice. They'll never take away our freedom. They'll never take away free speech. And we can save America together. Please go now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hand. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. We'll go after your calls momentarily. I want to quickly just talk about two aspects that represent sort of the core binary star system. It's the core of what's destroying us, basically. And it's this mindset that I guess you could call ideological supremacy, something like that. And it both of these things are sort of ubiquitous. You sort of see it everywhere, even if you don't recognize it for what it is. it's, and they're almost two sides of the same coin. It's two very similar aspects of this religion that we're combating. So that's what it is. It has all of the function and form of religious imperative. And the two things are ignoring the obligations of the position that you're in favor of using that position to progress your socialist ideals, and covering up the consequences of your policies so as the policies can be maintained. I think you'll see what I mean. And it's something we talk about almost daily on this show. The example I always point to as one of the most egregious and stomach-churning ones is, of course, Loudoun County, Virginia, where the school board was trying to pass transgender bathrooms when, during the discussion, during the back and forth trying to get this passed, a transgender student raped a girl in a bathroom. Sort of hard to pass a bill which is already resulting in the rape of schoolgirls. And yet they cover it up. They cover it up. They don't tell anybody about it. They don't punish the kid, so there's no record of it. They just shift him to a school where he does it again. They're willing to let girls be raped rather than admit that their policy might get girls raped. So they'll cover up the consequences of their policy because to them, the policy is right regardless of the outcome. And so negative outcomes have to be covered up. So the big story about this yesterday was this California gender doctor who did not want to publish the study they did on puberty blockers over fears it would be weaponized politically. This is their mindset. This is how they think. They think if I tell the truth about what I've discovered, it will be weaponized by my political opponents. They get that this is foreign to the mindset of normal thinking human beings. That if I say I think this is a better idea, I think this is the right way to do it, and then we put it in practice, and it's not the right way to do it, then you're wrong and you should change your mind. That's not the way these people think. And this is as old as communism itself. It's the reason why the Holodomor happened, right? Because you have these ideas about communism, that if we just collectivize the farms, it must be better because communism has to be right. What ended up happening was the farms produced a lot less, but they were expecting it to produce a lot more because communism. And so in order to make it look like it was producing more, in order to uphold the illusion of communism, they stole all the food from the peasants and all the peasants starved to death rather than admit that their policies were ineffective and damaging and wrong. Again, this is like ubiquitous, and this isn't the only story I have in this exact form from today from the Democrats. In this case, it's particularly crazy. It's just absolutely crazy, like insane, like it just does not make sense. On a logical level, there's some major disconnect here. So this doctor, Dr. Olson Kennedy, the director of the Children's Hospital at Los Angeles Center for Trans Youth Health and Development, has revealed that she has not yet published the results of a long-awaited study on puberty blockers for minors because of potential political attacks, the New York Times has revealed. She spent $10 million studying 95 children. The outcome, obviously, is that the puberty blockers don't help. They do not lead to mental health improvements. They are not necessary. They do not contribute to a positive outcome. And yet she's not publishing this. She's not revealing it in exactly the same way that Brown University retracted a scientific study because it showed that transgenderism is a social contagion and that the people calling themselves trans in middle school and high school, girls especially, are not legitimate sufferers of body dysmorphia, body dysphoria, causing them psychological pain that has to be treated with intervention. They are following a trend. And if one of their friends in their friend group becomes trans, soon all of them become trans because it's a social contagion. They studied it. They proved it. They published that paper. It made people mad because of the political implications. And so they retracted it and denounced it. So, like, the question is, okay, are these people motivated by helping trans people? That's what they say they're motivated by. But if you're motivated by helping trans people and you realize that puberty blockers don't actually help trans people, then you wouldn't keep pushing puberty blockers. So they're motivated by something else, something intangible, something you can't quite grasp. Whether it's just they want to avoid humility, like they're just so narcissistic that they refuse to admit they're wrong, that would be crazy. That would be very high, very, very high levels of narcissism there. I'd rather let children suffer than admit I'm wrong, because that's embarrassing. That's not the type of person you want anywhere near children, let alone performing medical interventions on them. It's about some sort of weird political supremacy, ideological supremacy, where like this is why I say it's like religion. Like they firmly believe that this is the right, even though they don't have evidence, even though they haven't really thought about it, they genuinely believe that puberty blockers are necessary and good and have to be done. And they study it and realize there's no positive benefits, and yet they don't want to admit that. They just have to keep pushing this thing they know is wrong and bad for the people that they are supposedly serving. It's an insanity. It's a psychological, like, this is what needs to be studied. Whatever this mental illness is, needs a DSM diagnosis so we can get these people on the medicine that they need. Anti-leftist pills. Like I said, it's not the only version of this. Full-blown scandal. Biden-Harris admin hid documents to justify fossil fuel crackdown, Oversight Committee says. The Biden-Harris administration is allegedly covering up an internal study conducted in 2023 that would have rendered its moratorium on national gas projects unnecessary, according to leaders in the House Oversight and Accountability Committee. The Department of Energy paused permitting for liquefied natural gas project exports in January, a policy critics said would cost the U.S. economy billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of jobs, to allow time for a federal study on those projects' environmental, economic, and national security impacts. The study, according to federal officials, won't be completed until 2025, effectively throwing the brakes on dozens of major fossil fuel projects. But essentially, they're saying that they already conducted that study months before announcing the policy, and they sought to stonewall information requests to obtain that study. So they did the study. They realized that they were wrong. They realized their policy was bad and would have negative effects and would not do the positive things that they thought it would. So they cover up the results of that study and implement the policy anyway. I'm telling you, it's like it's a constant thing with these people. And this is the party of science, right? They are perfectly fine ignoring reality in favor of their ideology. That is the superlative message from all of this. And then I have another clip from Kamala Harris that also reveals the twin aspect of this. It's only about 10 seconds long, but in this 10-second clip, I mean, this is the core mindset that if you take all of the problems in America and want to trace it back to one like concept, it's this. It's this concept. It's this. I don't even know how to put it exactly. Let's listen to it, and you'll see what I mean, and you'll see it everywhere, and it is everywhere. We've talked about it forever. We mention it over and over, and it's almost refreshing hearing the people that we talk about actually saying it themselves. Clip number 15. Here's a 10-second clip. This is Kamala Harris. In this case, and this is from a Trump ad, she's talking about how when she was AG of California, she used her power to get sex change operations for prisoners. Here she is bragging about it.
The first to help pay for a prisoner's sex change.
The power that I had, I used it in a way that was about pushing for the movement, frankly, and the agenda.
The power that I had, I used it to push forward the movement and the agenda. That's it. That summarizes the core fallacy at the heart of socialist politicians. It's why everything sucks, because it's a feedback loop, first of all. But you put somebody in a position, you give them authority, you give them power, give them the ability to make things happen, money at their disposal, people who have to do what they say. But there's an exchange. You get all this power, you get all this authority with the understanding, and only in the condition, under the condition that you use that power for its intended purpose. When you're the Attorney General, the power you're given is to pursue justice, stop criminals, to eliminate crime. What these people do every time they get into power, they don't see it as an obligation. They don't see it as a burden. They don't see it as a responsibility to fulfill the obligations of their office. They see the power that they accrue as a weapon to be used in whichever way they see fit to progress their agenda, their policies, their movement. Talked about this with Lena Hidalgo in Houston, because this is what she was running on when she was running as a socialist idiot who had never done anything in her life, who was running for a job whose primary responsibility was flood mitigation in Houston. And she's going, if I get into office, I will empower my office to go to preschools and tell them how the government can work for them. And we'll have socialist learning days every Saturday at the park. Families will come and learn how the government should be serving them and providing benefits to them to progress our socialist ideas. Never said I'd be the best at stopping floods. Never said I'm qualified for this position because I will fulfill the obligations of the position to the best of my ability. They understand this. They get this. Their constituents gets this. Their pitch to their constituents is, give me this power and I'll use it to progress our agenda. And so not only are you putting people in positions who are not, like, their first priority is not to do the thing the position is supposed to do. It's to do everything else. So obviously things are going to get worse. That's why things are getting worse. You're putting people in positions who have no concern about what the position is supposed to actually do. All they see it is an opportunity to exploit. So they get into power. They don't prioritize what they're actually supposed to be doing. So everything gets worse. When things get worse, they say, see, the system is broken. We need more socialism. We need more progressivism. So it's like a feedback loop. You put people in power that are crap at their job. They don't care. They don't prioritize it. Things get worse. And meanwhile, the same people are using that power to tell everybody the reason things are bad is because we aren't socialists and we should be socialists. So it's this feedback loop, and it's these two ideas that are making headlines right now that are ideological poison in America and is an anathema to our entire system, whose entire construct is predicated on honor and shame and people getting elected into office and then putting their own personal biases and agendas aside for the sake of the community to serve as in the best of their ability in the position that they've been given. That mindset is not a concern for the people in power. And the worst part, and the part that makes it impossible to counteract this, is that the people don't seem to care either. So I don't know what to do about that. When the population doesn't care that the person they're putting in power is bad at their job and isn't doing the right things and everything's getting worse and more problems are being caused and they're just using their position to get sex change surgery for prisoners instead of stopping crime, and they don't care, like, what are you supposed to do about that? What are you supposed to do when the people know this is happening and are for it and supportive of it? What are you supposed to do? We can't have a republic or a democracy with a population so ideologically captured. It's impossible. It's just a exercising futility. Out to your calls now. Pyramid Pup in Wisconsin, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Harrison, how you doing? Yeah, I wanted to talk to you. Were kind of mentioning earlier about the wars and stuff. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I think there's going to be a continuation of the war in the Middle East. I think it's like an unpopular opinion, but I think Israel's on a conquest. And they're like going to do a greater Israel there, maybe even like go into Egypt and kind of surround the sea over there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a satellite state in Ukraine, you know. It's kind of like, I don't know, you probably played Mario Kart before, you know, and you get like star power and just do whatever you want. They're going to just be able to do whatever they want. And obviously both the candidates at this point, they could have brought it up in there. They kind of talk about it, but they won't really talk about our involvement there. You know, we're supplying so much of the actual bombs and, like you said, the aid. And I think it's just become a popular trend of Americans being pushed into wars that they don't really want to do or pay for, you know, without Congress. And on some angles, I kind of understand where Israel's coming from, because they have to be like, they got to like spurg out like the Serbians did in the Balkans against the Muslims, you know, because the Muslims kind of like are, you know, a very strong masculine culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they respect that power and fighting, and the war has been going on forever, you know. And in the Balkans, they had to burn like 200 to 300 churches down before, and like all these terrorist attacks before all that stuff popped off in the 90s. So unfortunately, I think just this is going to be something that we're going to have to all deal with. And I just wanted to hear your opinion on like the conquest of Israel in the Middle East. If it's going to be something that is going to be, I think, in the next 6 months, continuing on. It doesn't seem like it's going to stop, in my opinion.
Well, look, here's the ultimate truth about this. They are trying to do the Greater Israel Project. They are trying to take over portions of Lebanon and Syria. And I mean, the patch on their uniform shows, you know, Israel as being the Greater Israel map, and Benjamin Netanyahu uses maps with this. And obviously, and if you think about it, the Greater Israel Project cannot be achieved through diplomacy. Two aren't just going to give up their lands. It has to be achieved militarily, and Israel is about 200 times too weak to achieve any of it. So in order to carry out the Greater Israel Project, it requires American military participation. And so you just have to ask yourself, who is more likely to send troops to the Middle East to die for Greater Israel? Is it Trump, who likes Israel, he likes support of Israel, but he also likes America a lot more and is probably not about to send people over, and had the opportunity, by the way, to go all in under his administration and the fake chemical attack in Syria? Remember, he very deftly handled that situation by launching rockets at an empty base, having personally intervened and coordinated with Russia to make sure no one was injured or killed during that attack, and yet to provide the visual to slake the bloodlust of the American media and military establishment. So he did it once. He's proven it once already that he is able to definitely avoid getting entangled in the Middle East. It's not the type of thing that he is likely to prioritize. And Trump is very clearly motivated by a pragmatism, and he's a deal maker. He's a statesman. He is not ideologically motivated to go into the Middle East or support Israel with a religious fervor in the way that, even though, you know, they try to downplay it, Joe Biden has since the 70s called himself a diehard Zionist. Trump's never called himself a Zionist. Being a Zionist means you have some sort of like religious or spiritual imperative that means you support Israel no matter what, and you think that, you know, they have a right to own the entire Middle East. Trump's not motivated by something like that. So when it comes to potential war in the Middle East, Trump has said he's not interested in regime change in Iran. Trump has said he has said, you know, I hear from all these people that, you know, Armageddon is going to happen in the Middle East, and there's going to be a big war, and it'll be the end of the world. And he's like, I'm not going to let that happen. He says, I'm not going to let that happen. So he is not motivated like the evangelicals for, you know, trying to get a big war, nuke Damascus, bring about the second coming of Jesus, a.k.a. the Antichrist that will come first. He's not motivated by that. He's not motivated by a political or religious Zionism in the way that Joe Biden is. And if you look at Kamala Harris, she is more in tune with what's going on in the Middle East than she is what's going on in America. She reacted more quickly to the death of Sinwar by saying, now we have a chance. Now we can really capitalize on this and make big changes. So that was like she immediately was on Twitter talking about how the death of Sinwar was a great thing, and now Israel needs to double down and push on it. She responded quicker to that than she did like the floods in North Carolina. So like that's where her priority is, and it may be the thing she's best at. Out of all of the things that she has done as vice president, she has shown an extreme alacrity with pushing war in the Middle East. So again, it's not really that that difficult of a question to me. Thank you for the call, Pyramid Pup. Let's go to William in Arkansas to close out the show as we started it, as a call to poll watchers, a demand that our audience sign up to be poll watchers in whichever city you live in today. Sign up today. VoteTexas.com. Vote whatever your state is, or .gov. VoteTexas.gov. Sign up. It's a very brief test. Get qualified. Go be the intervener. Go catch them in the act. Go stop them from stealing our election in the dark. William in Arkansas, you're on the air.
You know, how is it that three little old ladies are the only ones standing up? I mean, to even question it, what kind of questions or answers do you bring up to something like this? Man, oh man, you know, it's a reason for the Second Amendment. I'm not talking violence, but you got to have a detente. Mm-hmm. And nobody's doing anything. We spoke the other day, and I didn't disagree with you. I didn't get to finish. Tactically speaking, you open the door, you got two officers standing there, it's over for you. I don't care if they're in blue hats or not. It's over. Even if you win and you're not going to, it's over. And we're sitting here having three little old ladies do the job and the responsibility of every grown man out there. I spent 23 years in military, all of it in Texas. You know, serving that great state, still would right now, right? We need Patton in office. We need an attitude of a real infantry soldier. Yeah. I am sick of this, right? It is pathetic that we have all these civilians. We talk about the 3%. Look, talk about that 97% of the LSU Pittsburgh, tailgate partiers, the people that would love to have that truck that you guys are raffling off. You got their American chest stuck out. Right, with their Patriot flag on, they can't send you $5, buy a product, or protect three little old ladies. Right. Give me a break, man. You think right now that the condition of the young people in their mind and their backbone are going to protect this nation and its Constitution? America, everybody in this nation right now is in a uniform, whether you like it or not. Quakers, Amish, Catholic, Baptist, atheist. Russia paid the price. The British, the French, the Europeans, and the Chinese paid the price in World War II. We made the money. You do the numbers on the death and destruction. You got 6 million Jews that died in the concentration camps, and how many died in the gulags? Christians in the gulags of Russia? Right? This is a joke. It's the same financiers, right, that created all of that last 200 or 300 years. It's been the same institutions. They just changed their name, LLC. Limited liability corporation, you know, offshore accounts, BCCI banks. You know, we tolerated 10 years of Vietnam, you know, with daily body counts from both sides, lies from all kinds of garbage. Right.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right, William. And we got to do something one way or another. This election represents what could be our last chance to get out of this the right way, to set things right. It won't solve everything, but it is a necessary step. Victory in 11 days. So you can't just vote. You have to vote. You got to vote. Sign up to be a poll watcher today. Today. Do not wait. Sign up. Volunteer. Get involved. Now or never. Save the Republic.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA. I'm Dark MAGA.
A few weeks ago, when I saw Elon Musk in Pennsylvania with Trump at Butler, he had that dark MAGA hat on. I said, we've got to have our own. And we've come out with it. Yeah, we can put one out that, you know, just says Make America Great Again, and that's available at thealexshowstore.com. But I personally like this one, murdered out, it fits great, and it funds the InfoWar and supports President Trump. And if you don't like murdered out, we got it white on black. So get yours right now and a bunch of other great designs of hoodies and T-shirts and top-of-the-line supplements that all fund the Second American Revolution at thealexshowstore.com. Let me show you a few more of these. Now that the FDA admits fluoride does lower your IQ and give you cancer and infertility, it's a great time to wear one of these beautiful hats, and it's a great way to start a conversation and warn people. Here's the classic Make America Great Again murdered out, and we've got the Save the Frogs, over 50 designs, all at thealexshowstore.com, and it keeps us on air and it spreads the word. Please go to alexshowstore.com and get your Patriot gear. A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger of one of the top highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high-quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion, at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I thank you for your support.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.